Hello and welcome to episode 455 of the Awesome Comics Podcast, the place where the small press makes one hell of a big noise. My name is Vince Hunt, and joining me as always is the creator of the comic series Vanguard, Dan Butcher.
Hello.
And he wears orange oh so well, Tony Esmond.
This is a t-shirt that Dan got me, which I'm not going to tell you what it says on it. Hello, everyone.
No, but the colour really suits you.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
Brings out the red in my eyes. Am Velma?
Yeah, he does look a bit like Velma. And who's that who's made such an accusation? Well, it's
not Polonick. It's
Polonick. Friend of the show and creator of the comic Knave of Hearts, Sarah Webb. Welcome.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Pleasure. I'm Sarah.
Yeah.
New to the show, but you're not new to us because you've been part of the community and the ACP for quite some time now.
You've been to a few drink and draws, haven't you?
Yeah.
I have, yeah.
So Sarah's fully aware of what it's probably going to get like as the show goes on. And from the pre-recording banter we had, she's just as bad as us. No.
Yeah, I will definitely help lower the tone.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. But what we will do this week is definitely talk a lot about, how do you word it? Because this isn't so much a beginner's guide to comics. It's sort of like, we're going to be looking at sort of... when you get into the scene, some things that are just
useful to know, maybe.
Useful to know, whether it be
eventually, yeah.
Creative.
And also some stuff that Sarah's sort of learned as she's gone along.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Is that right, Sarah? So I won't put words in your mouth.
No, got it one.
And it's kind of one of those things like when you table for the first time, when you print for the first time, you all kind of learn trial by fire, as it were.
Yeah.
Always. When you meet Vince for the first time.
And it's always an epic moment.
Temperatures go up.
God's sake. Oh dear, what a day that was, wasn't it, Tony?
It's the top of the stairs in the British Library.
Yeah, it was. We met at a convention, just to let people know. Anyway, but this episode actually is happening because of Sarah. Something on the ACP Slack, which we advise lots of people to join. There's a great community of people on there. We'll give the links, etc., at the end of the show. But you put such a good question to us that we thought that's an entire show. So who better to be here for that than you, Sarah?
I'm honoured.
We're always looking for content.
Yeah. We're desperate for content. So if
anyone else got any questions,
good idea, send them in.
I tell you what, I'm not desperate. In need of reading loads of digital comics and finding nowhere to read them, because I have somewhere, and that somewhere is our sponsor, Global Comics. It felt like I almost lost that then, but I think
you managed to hang on.
You shoved it in
by
there,
the skin of your teeth.
Yeah, just about. And if you want to get your teeth in some comics, then Global Comics is the place to go. There's a huge library of titles available to read from thousands of indie creators to hundreds of publishers like Image, Boom, Tokyo Pop, TKO Studios, Source Point Press, Humanoids, to name but a few. I mean, I've been looking through the... That's actually how I've been browsing this week, actually. I've been looking at, like, just the publishers and then just...
Yeah, that's the way I do it. Yeah. I tag the publishers so that you get an email saying these are the new ones from Valiant, these are the new ones.
Oh, I haven't done that yet.
That's
that
good.
Sandy.
And the catalogue is growing all the time. Gents, what highlights have you got this week?
Well, Vince, have you ever read The Inkle or ever fancied reading it?
Do you know what? I haven't, and I've thought about it, and I've seen it there. Is it worth reading, Tony?
It's brilliant. Also, OG colouring. They don't have the new nonsense colouring in it. Yeah, which is good. So that's on there. Under Humanoids. So there's loads of Humanoids books on there. We mentioned one last week, didn't we? But there's loads of Humanoids on there. What about you, D-Man?
I want to talk about some legendary adventures. Venture into epic realms. We've got I Heart Skull Crusher, Void Rivals, Alterniverse, Mushroom Knight, Once Upon a Time at the End of the World, Gung Ho, and one that jumped out at me that I haven't read, Fight Girls.
Oh, is that Frank Cho.
That's a great
series. Good book.
That's a really good
book. With dinosaurs, isn't it? Yeah.
I've not read that one.
It's a bit like all the ladies from Gladiators and dinosaurs in a competition in the jungle.
And sharks.
Oh, the sharks too, yeah.
What's not to like?
Saber for the win.
Yeah.
I'll go back to that. Ain't it good at the moment, Gladiators? It's good, isn't it?
Do you know what? I haven't caught up on it yet.
Really, I was supremely annoyed. This is kind of a bit geeky, whatever, but this is the right place.
How dare you? On a comic book podcast?
They cancelled yesterday's fucking program for the football.
Yesterday's fucking program?
They do that on there. I've not seen that version of Gladiators. Is that
that a new, like, one of the...
It mainly plays out in my head.
Gladiators!
<myself. laughs>
No, Sabre and Diamond for the win.
Fair play. Got nothing to add to that.
No. But what you do want to do is add some of the titles that you've been reading on Global Comics to your library. And you can do that as well as follow creators, set reading status filters and release notifications for books you're looking forward to checking out in the future. In fact, I was talking about Something Is Killing the Children and I added that to list. And I got an email this week about The House of Slaughter, new trades that have been added.
Well, the other Vince in my life, not as important as you, but another friend of mine called Vince, he also this week said, why have I slept on this book, Something Is Killing the Children? And he had a little, I loved it.
Fantastic.
Yeah, there you go.
I've just bought it, so.
Have you?
Oh, brilliant.
Oh, nice one.
I haven't read it yet.
There was some interesting chat on the Slack about some people who read it, who it wasn't really their jam, but that's what comics are all about.
I think with that one, it may not be your jam, but there's no denying the skill in putting it together for me.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what I feel about it.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot to be learned, if not enjoyed.
That's how I feel about a lot of comics, to be fair. There's some stuff that's critically acclaimed. I'm like, I can see why it's good. It's just...
just not clicking
not
for me.
For me.
Yeah.
But that's fair. Speaking of clicking, you can click on loads of comics as we haven't finished the ad yet. You can click on loads of comics. And if you happen to be a creator yourself, you can publish your digital comics for free. They offer loads of great tools for indie creators to help with publishing, marketing, and more. Put the Fisto toy down, Tony. That actually sounds like a threat, like you're threatening me with it. Whether you're an avid comics reader, creator, or maybe you're just someone new to the hobby, or creating comics and you just want to check out some great stories, Global Comics is the place for you. So go to Global Comics, that's comics with an X.com, and you can download the app now on Apple App Store or Google Play and start reading and publishing digital comics like never before. There is there's lots of free comics on there, isn't there?
There is.
It seems to be more and more every week on there that are free. Mm. Yeah, they have a whole section for free stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I think it ticks over at a certain point that once you put them on there, it'll tick over to being free after a certain amount of time. So
really? Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
If you haven't uploaded your comic on there already and you're a small press creator, I'd recommend in doing so because there's a lot of eyes on the app and the service and it's so easy to do. You literally, if you got a print-ready PDF, stick it on there, add a bit of blurb and it's all done.
Yeah.
If you like doing guided view, you can actually... set that all up yourself as well.
Yeah, they've set a section of that as well.
Books have got it included.
Yeah, which is quite nice. I haven't tried it yet properly.
I found it easier than putting it on doing Amazon's guided reading.
Have you stuck your book on there?
My book is on there. Yeah, I think it's free. I'm pretty sure I said it. I just wanted eyeballs on it.
Yeah,
at this time. Yeah. So, nice one, and I'm pretty. I might have gotten bored halfway through the guided view thing though. So. Half guided view and then it might just be
it's one of those things you have to kind of like just get into the zone and just like
and just sit and kind of boom, boom.
It must drive you nuts.
If you like drawing boxes, you're going to be in your element, but
not really my bag, but
I suppose some books are suited to it and some books aren't as well. If you've got a sort of quite a complicated layout, you're like, oh no.
But there you go. Another successful sponsorship. I'll tell you what, we're getting quite good at these sponsorships.
That's pretty good, actually. I'm going to say it's one of our better ones.
Only been doing this for a couple of years. I mean, finally.
Just only 9 years.
Yeah, 9 years. And started talking and throwing ideas around for episode 500, everyone.
Oh, yes.
On the road to 500.
Serious plans earlier.
Watch
this space.
Watch this space. Although you can't watch a space because this is a podcast. You know what I mean?
Can we sort of say what format it's going to be just to kind of give people
a
heads
up? It's
going
to be a podcast, Dan. That's what we've been doing for 9 years now.
Live.
That's what I'm talking
about. And we're hoping we'll involve lots of drinking.
It's going to be
that's
a live show.
We're going to do a live.
I think you should all wear t-shirts, like a different colour as members of the Scooby Gang.
It works for me.
Hang on. Is she just... she's just going to bully us all episode.
I'm going... me and Dan are going as Fred and Wilma and we're not telling which is which.
Oh my God.
Fred in the streets, Wilma in the sheets.
Oh dear. But before we go down that dangerous rabbit hole,
that'll be in about an hour.
Let's start talking about the topic of discussion.
Oh, yes.
And certainly, if you are a listener out there who is new to comics, or maybe you've just started making comics, reading comics or whatever, hopefully it is our intention, at least with every show, underneath all of the jokes, all of the nonsense, to actually be informative or actually be helpful in some way.
Mm.
I know there's a lot of our loyal listeners who are laughing right now out loud. But no, in all seriousness, whenever you get into any new hobby or new passion, or especially new creative endeavor, especially if you're a solo creator, you're jumping literally into the deep end sometimes. And we've all been the person that's the first time tabling, the first time putting out a comic, and it feels like you're the only one in the room. Of course, once you're a part of the community, the world just expands in front of you. But before then, it can be a little bit daunting, you know, not just making comics, marketing them, and also just knowing just of other creators and other things in comics. And it sort of reminded, Sarah's question reminded us of that. So rather than read it out, we're going to get Sarah to ask
She's
us.
She's got a better reading voice than
yeah,
us.
Yeah. Ask us straight up, what was the question you posed to us?
Okay, so the question I posed was, could we have a beginner's guide to comic creators you love? Like the ones a newbie should seek out regardless of genre. And the reason I posted this question is I often feel very uneducated when people bring up names in comics. I don't follow a lot of the mainstream DC and Marvel superhero type comics. And at cons, and I think this has happened, I could be talking to someone who is literally the dog's bollocks of the comic book world and have no idea who they are or what they did, and stick my foot in my mouth. So it was kind of, any help is much appreciated. And I just put, you're sincerely the comic Luddite, because I've been making comics for a couple of years. Well, I've been making a comic for a couple of years, but I still feel like I'm just kind of on the outside, barely scratched the surface of what's out there, who's out there, what's going on. And people have all been really friendly. Like, I've been really lucky. I've heard some horror stories of like newbies coming in and people being like, you show them their comic and they're like, what the crap is this?
Oh man.
You've heard stories like that.
I've seen it happen. And
you could just see their little face falling and I'm like, oh crap, what happens if I show someone my comic and they're like, what the fuck is this?
I think generally people you might get constructive discussions, which I think is probably why you're showing them in the first place, you know, often. But I don't there are a few tosspots out there, be honest with you, Sarah. I've seen it happen. But I, from what you're saying, if you don't mind me saying so, never be worried about who you're speaking to and not knowing who they are.
Yeah.
I think the thing is that we're all just people. You know, none of them are Mother Teresa, mate. Do you know what I mean? None of them are, you know, people we need to look up to in this world necessarily as hero worship. You know, I think they probably won't. You know, most of the guests we've had, if we, you know, bumped into the convention, I think that's fine. I don't think you need to worry about that side of things.
Yeah, I think a blanket statement right off the off is there is no shame in not knowing who people are or not knowing a certain type of comic, or because there's lots of stuff that you know that we don't, that other people don't.
Yeah, I've been reading comics for 40-something years, and there's loads of people I don't know who they are. So don't worry about it. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. The thing is, it's like anything in life, isn't it? We just style it out when we're there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've been at a con and I've said to Tony, who's that over there? And you'll be like, that's so-and-so. And
or mostly I'll go, Dan, you've met that person.
We've had these people on the pod. Okay.
Who
was that again? So spinning off what you said there, I took it in one direction. I will probably all talk about different things, but what I thought is, I thought I might choose someone who, if you're in a conversation in a sort of cool creator club, or you know, like a cool little group of people, you can throw in like this and instantly that will make you cool. That's one of those sort of things.
This is an interesting thing,
like a cool band
as well, because there is lots of stuff. For instance, I've heard Tony and other like small press and indie creators have these discussions, and they mention a couple of names and they're off to the races, they're talking, and I'm thinking, I know the name. That's it. Do you know what I mean?
I've been in a lot of conversations like that where like, oh, and Bibbidi Blear did this, and I'm like, I'm not even going to remember that name. Oh God.
So the one you want to start off, Tony, go on.
The one I thought would be a good one, and knowing you're having chatted to you in the past, I think it might also be a set of creators that you might enjoy. Tell me, because I haven't asked you whether you know this group. Do you know Los Bros Hernandez, the Hernandez brothers?
No.
No. Okay. Right. So, they're not super well known, like Superman and Batman and stuff like that. But they're kind of cool Californian Mexican creators. There's three brothers. They did a book, a comic called Love and Rockets. Have you heard of
I've certainly watched the Netflix
that?
adaptation.
Is there a Love and Rockets adaptation?
Really? Okay. No, I didn't
Didn't
know.
know
Oh,
that.
I'm saying that I'm sure. Or am I thinking Love and Robots?
You're lo
Oh,
loving
Love and
robots,
Robots,
it
you
is,
might be
yeah.
right. But
Yeah.
see, even that, like, that's a conversation, mate, that you have that you and I could have at a convention. You know, it's kind of funny, it's kind of cool. You know, I've never seen that Love and Robots. I didn't, you know. But when you said I was doing an adaptation, I actually had to double think because I know they've tried to a couple of times. So there's actually three brothers. There's Jamie, Gilbert, and Mario. Mario's the least, or not the least interesting, but he's the least sort of creative. He hasn't put out as much as the other two, put it that way. Prolific. Jamie is currently the part, or no, that's wrong. It's spelt Jamie. His name's Jaime because he's Mexican.
Right.
So if you said Jamie, and somebody might, some pain in the ass creator might go, hang on a minute, I believe it's Jaime, you know, that sort of thing. But they do this comic that's about, they do separate comics within an anthology called Love and Rockets. They do other stuff as well. But it's, I was trying to sort of put some words together about what I thought. It's all black and white. Lovely line work, very adult. Some of the words I would describe it as sexual, transgressive, real life, and treats sort of sexuality and genders in a sort of real sense. Again, there's a realism to it all. Often very strong, well-written female leads. And they've been about in the scene, I think it was 82, when I wrote this down actually, 81 if it started, but it's still the coolness. And I say it because I did SPX last year, which is quite a cool indie alternative festival. It's a bit like a cool version of Thought Bubble, really, in America. And the T-shirts, the convention T-shirts, were Love and Rockets T-shirts for that one. So they still hold that credibility. So one as a recommend, if you haven't read it already, I'd suggest that it would be one knowing you as little bit as I do. I think you might enjoy it. I think you boys would enjoy it as well.
Yeah, it's
Right,
fascinating
okay.
because it's one of those that I've never read. I know it's you know it's one of those big indie comics. The name Love and Rockets is an easy thing to remember as well, and that's been you know just you constantly hear about it. I never read it. I didn't know the creators as much, but I knew the Hernandez brothers. Do you know what I mean? I knew that part of it, but it's almost like I knew the title more than them.
Yeah,
If
Love
that
and
makes
Rockets, very
sense.
much so. Yeah,
Yeah.
and the cool crowds call them Los Bros now. That's kind of what they're called.
Oh, I've
Bros.
never heard that
Yeah,
expression.
yeah. I know the Gutter Boys on their podcast will call them that. But there's two brothers who are the main two now. Jaime, who people kind of start, I'm going to say, start with very clean line, beautiful featured people, soap opera, so a little bit of space stuff. One of them's a mechanic. The characters in it are Maggie, Hopi, Penny Century. They're cool, mostly women. He's probably the one you would start with. And then as people get more into underground comics, they sort of, certainly this happened with me and a couple of my friends, we flipped over to Gilbert, who is just a crazy person.
Who's the one that does? Because I've seen, you know, you certainly remember certain panels of books, don't you? And I know there was a Love and Rock. There's a punk band, isn't there a
Yeah.
band in
So
this?
that's fine, me. Yeah.
Yeah, and
That's the cover. That's the t-shirt, actually.
there's some of
Yeah.
the sort of a band on stage artwork is like some
Yeah.
of the best sort
That's
of
the one.
band on stage artwork
That's that
I've seen.
very
It's
iconic
sort of from
image.
behind, just slightly behind, isn't it? And they're playing guitar and
That's
there's a
it.
crowd in
Yeah.
front of them.
I'd
I love that image.
I'd urge you, or suggest, Sarah, you have a quick look at it while we're talking, maybe.
I am trying to Google it, but all I'm getting is Love, Death, and Robots, which is the Netflix show. So I'm kind of like frantically scrolling.
Okay, if you put Love and Rockets Hernandez with a Z on the end, it might be a better one.
Yeah. Looks like
But
I'm not the only one that got it confused.
the first set of comics, Fantagraphics also published them. Fantagraphics are the coolness, indie wise. You know that they're an American company. Fifty
Is it
volumes.
something that, speaking, and now you're talking about like the volumes and stuff, is it something that start of volume one, or can someone pick it up sort of now? Do you know what I mean? Because sometimes that can be,
Yeah, it can
oh
be a little
yeah,
bit
you see it.
I find it a bit unnerving when it's like it started in 1981 and you have to start with volume one. I'm like, oh no.
No, it's a bit like, that's why I said it's a bit like manga. So you can just pick up the
Jump in
volumes are
anywhere.
almost always in print. So you
Right.
can just pick up the first volume and read it. They put that you occasionally get quite a lot of free comic book days from one of them coming out as well, so you can get free stuff. But yeah, it's all on Comixology. Fantagraphics do it. There's a range of T-shirts and all this sort of thing. There's 50 volumes of it, but you got to remember it's split up into a few different stories. So Luba is the Gilbert one. Women are the center of it. Women are the protagonists and the antagonists, but they're sort of hypersexualized.
I was going to say, looking at the pictures, it's women and their boobies.
He is completely obsessed with massive, like inordinately large, the size of a car kind of boobs.
All I'm thinking when I'm looking at these pictures is she came down the stairs and her breasts breasted boobily. Yeah. It feels like the tone of the artwork, but yeah. I'm not opposed to that. So,
but if you put in Jaime Hernandez, you'll see the difference actually, which is Jaime. And you'll see the difference. More of a sort of cooler, illustrative. It's hard to describe it. They're not quite as undergroundy, you know.
No, I was. It looks to me like it's almost like a mix of 1960s Marvel and like Ghost World type.
Yeah,
style.
I can see that. Yeah,
kind of. It's like the two kind of had a little baby.
Yeah, it's almost like a fashion magazine. The characters are out of some cool sort of fashion magazine or something like maybe Deadline or something like that. Yeah, there's occasionally like a little bit of a Britpop thing for me as well.
It can be that sort of, that Jamie Hewlett kind of stuff, where transcends comics and goes into kind of pop art kind of thing.
It's a great subject. Anyone who's genuinely who's into the scene and is kind of really into the comics for being into comics and not for being into them for being cool is you would have a lovely conversation with someone if you were a Love and Rockets fan. If you and I met at a convention behind a table and I said, "Oh, do you like Love and Rockets?" we would have half an hour about Love and Rockets. I guarantee that now.
Right.
You know, but it's also cool. It's also, it seems to bridge someone who's very old, like me, Sarah, down to someone who is younger than anyone else in the room. Mm. You know, it's that sort of thing. I think you might like it. As a recommend to you, I think you might dig it. Yeah. Maybe it's a Christmas present or something.
Step one is always, do I like the art style? And I do, which is like, I can kind of swallow a slightly subpar story if the art's really good.
Yeah.
Or I can swallow slightly subpar art if the story's really good. Yeah. And when both are good, it's amazing. Yeah. So, just looking at the art. Yeah.
What kind of comics would you go for generally, Sarah?
Oh, I love Saga. Okay. What
realistic style?
Monstrous. Well, but then again, like, you know, one of my favourite ones is Lenore, and, you know, Roman Dirge's work is definitely not real looking.
Yeah.
Very cartoony. Yeah. I think I like sort of the quirky. I either like it like, I don't know how to describe it, but like almost like shoujo manga. Like, I like beautiful people and beautiful artwork and I like it simple, but then like detail that you can really kind of pick at, like, because drawing is kind of my first passion. So, actually, I think it's one of the reasons that DC and Marvel comics don't tend to appeal, because it's all these beefy cake people.
It's great. I'm monthly, like, beefy cake monthly.
Yeah, beefy cake monthly.
I've been in my call
exactly.
List.
I kind of like comics that have fallen through the cracks of genres is kind of like, that's my like, oh yeah.
I mean, Saga's very difficult to kind of put in a genre.
Yeah, yeah, it's like sci-fi, it's a bit fantasy, it's kind of hyper-violent.
Human interest, yeah.
Exactly. It's kind of got everything kind of smushed together, and the art is beautiful, and I find the story really compelling. So
it's a long-form story that you're just following along. And
So I guess that they're my favourite kind of comics, but I will, like, I'm kind of one of those where I'll try anything once, and if I don't like it, I just won't buy another one.
Yeah, exactly. One of the other reasons I chose Love and Rockets, and it's a similar reason to, I guess, why you like Saga, is you can just read Saga. You don't need to read, you know, blah, 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 crosses over with Saga, you know, which I think is good.
I mean, I
you just
I
have
think,
this ongoing, you know?
I think also when it comes to comics now, you know, the Marvels and the DCs and stuff, they aren't the go-to recommendations anymore. They're not the sort of like, oh, if you want to get into comics, you want to start Amazing Spider-Man number 364. Yeah, it's something like that. Now it's like, oh, you want to try The Walking Dead, or you want to try Saga, or you want to try, you know, it's an abundance of different books. And I find that they're not those big superhero titles anymore, is it? It's sort of like we moved away from...
Go on.
I was going to say, no, I get the appeal of Marvel and DC, particularly if they're characters you know, you love. Yeah. it's kind of like settling into an old armchair with a slightly like a new cocktail in your hand. Like that is the appeal, I think, for me. I completely get it. It's just not my bag.
Well, I almost blogged on this today, but I thought, no, it's just another case of me shouting at clouds again. But the thing is, like, I buy Batman comics, and I've been buying Batman comics and had them on my pull list for absolutely decades. And I fell about 3 months behind reading Batman, and I picked it up and I thought, who are all these people? What is all this that's going on? Hang on a minute, Batman's not Batman. Who's this robot? You know, it's like that. And I'm like, oh, come on. And the whole thing of Stan Lee saying that, you know, everyone, every comic should be someone's first comic, you know, and they should be able to pick it up and have fun about it, which doesn't necessarily mean it's not part of a multi-story epic or anything. Yeah. But I think that needs to work more.
Yeah.
I think accessibility, that's part of it. You know, as well as having a shop you can find it in, I think accessibility into diving into a book. And you never know, you might find there's a Batman book you enjoyed, Sarah. But like you say, if you went in a shop and went, oh my God, which is the Batman book, you would not know.
No, and I like my school library, actually, which is where I kind of got proper access to comics because the librarian liked comics. Awesome. Most of the comics that I sort of started with were the big, like, Superman anthologies. I can't remember which story it was now. It's like, might have even been the one where Superman died.
Yeah, Death of Superman could well be.
Death of Superman, I think they had that. And I kind of read it, and like, you know, the story was good, the art was pretty, but it wasn't like anything exciting for me. It's kind of like, you know, Superman saves the day, Batman saves the day. It's kind of like, I like it where it's like, I don't know what's going to happen next. So anything could happen.
What you're saying there is, as well, is you're describing some image books that you like Monstrous and Saga and stuff. I think it's such a shame we don't have Vertigo, because I think that's what you're looking for as well. If you don't want to put words into your mouth, but that's sort of, I want to read this story, you know, it'll be 60, 70 issues, but, lovely arc. I don't need to read anything else.
But
you know.
Also, those books do exist.
They're still about, aren't they?
And there's the audience, isn't it? We've got the audience. Oh, someone who's wants to read some good stories, you know. And for me, I find when it comes to creators, I discover creators through the stories. It's not always, oh, I've heard about this creator, what have they done? Normally I read something and then I'm hooked and I need to
find out what else they've done.
Yeah, go back. I mean, you know, like I'm only a recent Terry Moore convert. I knew of Terry Moore.
Oh, that's another one. That's another
years,
good
years
recommendation,
years,
I reckon.
Yeah. For years and years I knew of Terry Moore. Terry Moore's done different stories, Strangers in Paradise, Rachel Rising, which I think is a book you'll like. You know, we talked about Parker Girls on the show. There was lots of different ones that I hadn't tried. I was intrigued by it. I knew the name, but I wasn't sure if it was. And Strangers in Paradise had been going for so long that, like you, I was too scared to start at the first one. But then when I thought, I'm just going to try one of the books. And I think it was Rachel Rising. And then I got hooked on the creator, and then now I'm a convert.
I think Terry Moore, from your art style as well, if you don't mind me saying, Sarah, I think you'd enjoy his stuff.
That'd be a good fit.
Like you say,
I'm
like beautiful
sure
women, beautiful men. You know,
I'm sure he's been recommended to me, or she, has been recommended to me before, and it's on my list at the moment. I'm finding that because I'm so busy trying to make the comic, I don't have much time
Tell
to read the comics,
so
or do anything like watch TV or
how did you make the jump from sort of getting into comics and reading them to thinking, right, I'm going to make one?
Well, my tragic backstory of creating comics started when I was just outside of school, and I drew a one pager whilst I was working just as an admin assistant or something, and it was near Bristol, and they had like quite a good indie comic scene there, and this publisher dude, I think for a comic book thing called Scar Comics, I don't know if anyone's I don't think they exist anymore. It was kind of like it was mostly like little anthologies of horror stories. And anyway, I submitted my little gothic mouse, which was the first sort of strip I'd ever drawn, and they took it. But I'd done it in like pencil, and the publisher who was in charge of it said, I'm going to ink it myself. And he didn't show me what he'd inked. I just got a copy of the comic, and he'd murdered my strip. Absolutely murdered it. It looked horrific. It lost all the detail. He just hadn't, like, little gothic mouse had little slippers next to his bed and stuff, and they were all just gone. And I was devastated, and I thought, oh, I don't want to do comics. So for sort of 10, 15 years, I was like,
dude.
I got a job working in video games at the time as like an artist. So there was also the art by day. I didn't want to do anything at night. And then I had my daughter, and then kind of life got in the way. And then during the pandemic, I drew I was listening to a new band called Esoterica, and I happened to draw just a one-off little one panel comic thing, and I posted it on Instagram, and they actually liked it and said nice things about it. I was like, oh, maybe I can do this, maybe, because I actually really enjoyed doing that. And then I drew a whole page of the thing, and then I was like, oh, I'm actually really enjoying this. I'd forgotten how much I enjoyed doing it. And then I sort of accidentally wrote a whole first
Accidentally
issue.
wrote a whole
Yeah, it just kind
comic,
of
yeah.
poured out is the only way.
That's
I
brilliant.
don't consider myself a writer, but it did just kind of, I was like, oh, I want it to be where all the gods are named after different cards in a deck of
Okay.
cards, which is where Knave of Hearts comes from. Couldn't have Jack of Hearts because Marvel beat me to it. So every god in my universe is named after, so you've got an Ace of
Oh,
Spades,
nice
you've
one.
got
Oh,
a
nice.
King of Spades, all that kind of stuff. And they're all represented from ancient gods. So Knave of Hearts is Cupid, and Queen of Hearts is Aphrodite. And so they're kind of
There's a
trying
whole
to sort
lore
of,
and world
there is
built.
a, yeah, and actually I really enjoyed coming up with the lore and stuff. And then, yeah, and then I just started drawing, and actually Esoterica feature in my first issue. And through that, I got to go and meet the band, and now I'm friends with the band, which is quite cool.
That's great. Awesome. Very good. Yeah.
And yeah, so it's kind of, I made connections through it, and yeah, it is, it's become like my happy place is making my comic. And even
Oh,
if
that's so good
three
to hear.
people read it and enjoy it, that's, it's still
I get
cool.
you. I feel the same
Done.
way, mate.
That's what it's all about. That's what
Yeah.
it's all about, because
So
it's a real outlet, isn't it, comics?
as
It's
long as you're
the
having
soul of
fun
comics is
making it.
making it. Yeah, the real bit of comics I find is the making.
Making comics.
Sometimes by the time it arrives in the post, it's all been kickstarted and printing. I'm like, what are we doing now, Falpy? What have we moved on to
Yeah,
now?
what's
It's
the
almost
next
like
thing?
that sometimes, you know? Yeah.
That process of the whole printing it and getting it out to people is no interest to me whatsoever. Like,
Oh,
it's
I
just,
hate that bit.
yeah. I
Or
just want to do the
marketing it.
making. Yeah,
Yeah.
the making.
Yeah.
The
Judging whether
market.
you've tweeted too many times about it and
I
stuff like that, you
know.
know.
I know. It's a necessary evil though, isn't it? In a lot of ways,
I
isn't it?
even tried streaming whilst I was drawing issue one, and people were very nice, but I was like, do you know what? I just want them all to shut up and let me draw. Which is not really what Twitch is aiming for, I
No.
don't think, with its creators, is I'm just going to ignore you all.
When
Here's
I've
my
watched,
picture.
yeah, when
messages and
I've
stuff.
watched video YouTube videos of the artists sort of they're doing stuff and they're talking or they're stopping to talk, I was like, I can't do it. If whenever I've done sketches at a convention or whatever, yeah, I'll do that for you. Don't talk to me for 10 minutes because I can't multitask. I'm
Got to be in the zone.
I'm just sort of
It's
like.
useful if you sit next to me because I keep very calm and,
Yeah.
Yeah. There's also, it's like when someone's watching you type, and then it looks like you've typed with your fists. I'm a bit like that when people watch me draw. It's like this is not going well.
Yeah, I totally get that.
It's like when the dog's looking at you and you miss it. No, I know what you mean. Yeah.
So
This is not a shared experience.
Vince's face.
He's got his tongue out and I'm like, keep away. Keep away.
Oh God. Oh dear. But while you were making the comic though, once you the passion had been reignited for making comics again, was it then, I want to read some more. Were you reading much at the time of creating, which
So
is
yeah,
re
I've always read comics. Pretty much from so I used to live in, or partly live in, France, and my first comic was actually I sort of grew up on Asterix and Obelix and Yoko. Oh, I can't remember the name of it now. This is what I mean. I'm terrible with names, so this is going to be mostly me kind of with my face
Oh
screwed up, worrying. Yeah,
yeah, I see
no,
you,
not
Yoko
Yoko Ono.
Ono.
It has like blue aliens in it, and
Yeah,
no, I mean, it's
Ono.
again, I'm pretty sure Yoko Ono is not
Was it
in
like
it,
a
but it was,
French comic?
I think it was originally in Japanese, but it became one of the biggest sort of comic franchises in France, and it definitely wasn't written for kids. But my parents, bless them, were like, she's obsessed. We were in a supermarket called Auchan, and I wouldn't let it go. I was like, it's got blue people in it. They look a bit like Smurfs, and there's like this cool kick-ass woman in it. And I think it's the first time I'd read a comic where the woman was kind of the the main character, and I was like, I want it, mum.
And it's
so that
available from Cinebook in English. It's Yoko Tsuno,
that's the one,
T-S-U-N-O.
Yeah. And I think it was, I think I started with something like volume 9, and it's very, I can see why it appeals to French people, because it is, I think it's a style. But
do you speak French then, Sarah?
When I was a kid, I was bilingual. Now I can just about order a cup of coffee.
Well, it must be good
I'm
for
very
reading
much
comics, though,
a
French
use
comics.
It or lose it kind of gal when it comes to, if it's not something to do with drawing, I don't tend to retain it. I mean, my copy, I think, disintegrated in the end. But yeah, even from being a small person, it went from picture books to comics. And then obviously I've got all of Lenore. I'm all up to date with Saga. I've got Monstrous. I've got, I'm trying to think now, like if I go to a comic book shop and there's a comic with pretty art in it, I've probably
you're
got
in
it. I might not necessarily have read it, but I'll have gone,
yeah.
Ooh. So it is a bit like, sort of like schizophrenic kind of like collection that I've got, where there's no one genre that kind of stands out. It is just, if it's pretty, I've probably picked it up.
That's a great collection to have, though. A diverse collection.
But people do come around and they're like, where's the next one? I'm like, oh, I just picked up that one because I saw it and it was pretty, and they're like, oh, safe. This is not a helpful collection, Sarah. I'm like, it's just full of pretty things.
Have you got a comic shop near you? There's, I suppose there's one in Bedford.
Yeah, there is Close Encounters in Bedford.
Of course there is,
So I am a frequent visitor in there. And actually, they've been really supportive whilst I've been, as I was creating, because I kind of went in there when I just literally drawn the cover and a couple of things. I was like, what do you think? Is it like worth carrying on? Because, you know, I want to draw something that people want. And they were like, yeah, this is really good. And gave me some tips, and you know, they took my first set of like physical copies and nearly sold out. I think they've only got one copy left, which is
that's good.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So they're like, where's the next one? Every time I go in there, where's the next one? I'm like, oh, I'm sorry.
Where is the next one?
It's about a third of the way finished in my Google Drive. It's funny, I took everything I learned from issue one and I'm now applying it to issue two, which means issue two should be faster, but it's actually like more complicated because the art I'm trying to do is more challenging for me to do because I really want to push myself because that's how I learn. And it does mean that I was very kind of at the end of issue one, I was like, I'll bang out issue two, it's gonna be great. And then I kind of set up all the pages, I was like, crap, this is gonna take me so much longer to draw than issue one, but it'll look better and it'll read better, or at least I think it will. This is where everyone's like, oh, I don't know what happens to an issue two.
if you don't push yourself as well, there's no sort of progression,
exactly. And I think the more comics I read, the more I feel like I can break the rules, because I think issue one, there are some pages that I think are very vanilla, or you could see I just didn't know what I was doing, or at least in my opinion. Whereas now it's funny, since I've started creating, I study the comics I read a lot more. I'm like, oh, they did that. That's really interesting. Put that in the back pocket.
key into something I was going to recommend to like a kind of newbie comic creator. And it's a book that I've had for years and I haven't been back to it more recently, but when I first started reading it, it kind of really redefined how I looked at making comics. And I guess some people would think Scott McCloud's understanding comics, but it's Comics in Sequential Art by Will Eisner.
I have that book.
What got me when I first started doing comics is like the framing that that guy does. It always stuck out to me that he would make frames out of backgrounds and of people. And I was like, man, this is absolutely mind-blowing, because at the time I was all about, let's just make boxes on a page.
Yeah.
And title sequences he makes using buildings and, you know, all sorts of things, isn't he? Yeah.
It's nuts. He really kind of like pushes the envelope. So that's kind of like a title I always say to people, like when they kind of got their foot in the door and they've done a comic or two, it's like just reassess what you're kind of going for. And the Comics in Sequential Art by Will Eisner is like one title I would recommend to anyone, really.
But there's a lot to be said to having the medium and then breaking it and reforming it. I think it can be done too much sometimes, because you've got to have a structure in order to break the structure. Do you know what I mean? If every page was just a completely different thing every time. Sometimes it's a lovely art book, but it's not a comic. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It has to be readable.
Yeah. And there's certainly some artists who have worked in the big two that have, when they've done other work, they're pushing that medium. I mean, one artist that I think that you'll like is Chris Pacello. You've probably seen his work. But if you look for Image Comics Steampunk... he also did a Vertigo series called The Witching Hour, and I mean, lots of people would know him from Generation X and
Spider-Man,
Doctor Strange and stuff. But some of the things I saw him do with like Steampunk and Witching Hour sort of were completely sort of breaking the mold. You know, stuff was happening around the panels. You know, there was these weird ethereal things going on, and using shadow and stuff.
I like the sound of that.
Yeah. And he's just got a really nice art style as well. And it's also interesting seeing some of these artists who, you know, for a lot of the mainstream, we know them for these sort of things. But then when they've got something that they don't have any seatbelt, they can do really interesting stuff.
I guess it's easy to sort of say, well, that's how they work, because they're working in a set style for a corporation like Marvel or DC. When they get a chance to push the boat out, so they can do, like, artists are not just defined by the one style they're working.
Yeah.
If you give them, like, let them go hog wild, they can come up with loads of different stuff. And it's just that as comic creators like us and artists, if you're producing a book in a certain look in a certain way, the kind of, like you said, Vince, if you're changing it every other page or every other issue, the reader's going to get whiplash and it's like, I can't be dealing with this. Yeah.
I mean,
I haven't done that. No. Oh, God.
No. But there's certainly like small press and indie creators who do a similar thing. And one like current creator who I think is just becoming a master of playing with like the form, Ian Ashcroft, I think, what he does with the panels. You know, you'll have a straight up comic structure and then something will happen. He's doing something else with the pages, and I think
there's a straight line between you and him somewhere, I'd say, Sarah. Yeah, you remind me of each other
right
a little
now.
Bit.
Oh, I found him.
Friend of the show, Ian. Hello, Ian.
He's on our on the Slack. He'll post them.
Yeah.
What is he doing? Is it Hellbreaker?
Yeah.
Hellbreaker.
That's the book he's working on. Yeah.
It's
very painterly style and kind of.
Some of the stuff with Kia Wordsmith he did was.
Yeah, I think the Kay Wordsmith stuff you dig is all that sort of magical fantasy vibe, like that, almost like a Vertigo vibe, a little bit like you've got sometimes, I think, Sarah. There's an artist that you remind me of a little bit is Colleen Doran.
She's one of my favorite artists. I follow her on Patreon and see all the goodies, and the stuff she's doing for Good Omens at the moment looks really nice.
Man, that smashed it, didn't it?
Yeah,
God, it did.
Yeah.
I was so happy. I have backed that Kickstarter, so I'm very excited.
Yeah, and I hope she's feeling better, because she's been quite ill recently, isn't she?
She has been very poorly. Yeah, but it sounds like she's on the mend. Yeah.
Alan Harvey, who we've had on before, I think he works as her assistant, doesn't he, Alan?
Yes.
Yeah.
What he does with his comic restorations are just
I love Alan's work.
He kind of has the old comic pages and then he does the side-by-side comparison of what he's worked with and the stuff is coming. It's like brand new stuff. It's just amazing.
It was the Atlas at War episode, wasn't it, that he
I love that. That's really good work.
I've got that book over there.
Yeah,
he sent it over to me.
I mean, it's interesting. I mean, this conversation's interesting as some of the creators that we've talked about, because on a lot of shows or certainly comic podcasts, you know, when people go, "Oh, who are the creators that I have to check out?" You normally get, you know, like the big names, like the Kirby's and, you know, Ditko's. You know, you get all of these big names. But I think it's important to remember that these names are classics. We know that, you know, they're obviously legends. But at the same time, they might not always be what the person's looking for.
I absolutely love...
I only recognise one of those names. So I recognise Kirby, but don't recognise the other one.
The thing is, I really love it. It's a massive thing. I love doing it. Knowing what a person likes, and maybe often like you, what their style is, and recommending something to them.
Yeah.
We love it. We love doing that, you know, because it's a medium. There's so many different areas of it. It's like recommending just one novel to everyone. It doesn't work. You know, one movie to everyone. It doesn't work. You've got to cater to who you're speaking to all the time.
I mean, one of the perennial favourites on this pod amongst us three is Porcelain. which is this.
Yeah, Chris Wild Goose, you'd like.
Chris Wild Goose. Oh, man, he's just something else. We're currently
he lives not far from you, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's we're currently
opportunity.
I'll give his address out at the end of the show. For those
thanks.
Yeah. He's doing one like it's a D&D inspired one, that Hunger in the Dust. But like the porcelain is like three books and
It broke me. Porcelain. Oh, absolutely
it's
broke.
So
me.
Brutal. It's amazing. Amazing. If you can get copies of them, after book one, you know whether you like it or not. But
you definitely get one in French. They're all out in France.
Oh, okay.
There's a big deal in France.
Yeah,
Christian Wild Goose, definitely, Sarah. Man, yeah, that would be good. You'd love his stuff, I think. He drew a picture of me on a horse holding a baguette once. Do you remember on the Drink and Draw?
Oh, yeah.
That was nice. That was quite a big baguette, though, wasn't it? Shiny baguette. I don't know what that was.
Yeah.
Oh, I do like his stuff. This is pretty.
Yeah, he's really.
We try not to be too nice about him because we know him.
Occasionally.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he does listen sometimes.
Yes, all right.
I'm like part of the Chris fan club on Twitter.
Yeah, me
all
too,
the time. It's like, the Hunger in the Dust is brilliant.
You got to buy it.
You got to get it.
Yeah, but I mean, I will say that both Porcelain and the Hunger in the Dust, the whole creative team just absolutely smashes it.
Yeah,
on it.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got quite an eclectic taste that's open to everything. Which is obviously good to hear. But it's also like, it's that eternal nightmare of asking my dad what he wants for Christmas. Just give me anything. No, give me an idea. So is there, if we can refine like what you're looking for, I mean, with obviously, like, is there more of a gothic sort of style? Oh. What is your... If there's something that you immediately catches your eye, what is it normally?
It's fantasy.
It's normally fairies. So I've got picked up at the weekend the Dark Crystal. There was like a big chunky Dark Crystal book that came out, and that was my Mother's Day gift, which I frog marched my daughter and husband to the comic book shop and said, "This,
I want to go look over here. I want to go look over here.
I'm going to take all the thinking out of it. I want that one." I think, and I don't think there's a, well, again, it might just be I haven't found it, but like the sort of fairy side, because like when I wasn't, before I was drawing comics, I mostly drew fairies. That was like, and I loved like Brian Froud is like one of my favorite all-time artists, and his Squash Fairy books are just
I know that one. Yes. Yeah.
And it's kind of, so I really enjoyed the Dark Crystal comic. Actually, I found the story a little bit subpar, but the artwork was just glorious.
Sorry, did you say squashing fairies?
I think
it's squashed fairy books. So Brian Froud is a whole book of, and it's like, you know, when that's you get cruel. Like pressed flower books. Well, these are squashed fairies.
Yeah. Well, do their brains come out and stuff?
They're all splattered.
Well, some of them are a bit splatty, but they're beautifully drawn. So you kind of like forgive him
weird
for squishing
kink,
his own fairies.
Saying,
well,
no kink shaming, please.
Yeah, no kink shaming here on this show.
In Bedfordshire, so
it's big in Bedfordshire.
So you can get them. but yeah, so I mean, he did all the like concept art for the Dark Crystal and Labyrinth. So that's kind of what.
That's interesting to say that, because I remember when I'll say that I love the artwork, like the art and the style and the world of the Dark Crystal, but. Yeah. And I watched it when I was a kid, and I remember liking it as a kid. But when I revisited it, I just can't get into it. But there was an art behind the scenes sort of like making of in my college at the time. And amongst all the art books, there was this big Dark Crystal, and it was all the pencil sketches of everything that you just don't see, all of the symbols for the doors and everything. It was one of the most beautiful art books I had ever seen. So the Dark Crystal is always, it's on a certain pedestal for artistic creativity for me, even if I don't like, you know, the story. I'm like, yeah, but
as a kid's film, new series of it,
yeah, it was,
yeah,
and it was the new series. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the making of the new series more than the series, where you got to see behind the scenes of all these intricate things. And like, there's one of the characters has like an art book where she draws in it, and it had like pages that had been sort of like lovingly drawn. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's just. And I even went to, there's a museum in Milton Keynes, the Sci-Fi Museum, I think it is, and they've got the shard from the Dark Crystal in there. And I was like, we are going. And the music was it was okay, but the shards, like, that was like.
I was gonna go to that recently. Nice. You don't rate it, is it? I know they got.
To be fair, it was much bigger because you got there, and I was like, this is just like three dingy rooms at the back of an arcade, and it was a bit more than that. If you like Star Wars, they've got a lot of Star Wars stuff, and they've got like maybe one or two sort of things, but it I was kind of expecting a whole big like science museum size thing, and it isn't that. I mean, you can go and see Ludo from
they've got
Labyrinth.
Doctor Who stuff there. See, the thing is, I prefer dark rooms at the back of arcades more than I enjoy Star Wars.
That's a different podcast. I tell you what though, there is space. I think in the UK, if there was like a big museum, like a genuine museum in London or whatever, that was just a sci-fi museum that had like memorabilia from all these different shows and everything, that'd make a fucking killing.
Game
of Thrones. They'd have all the Harry Potter weirdos, wouldn't they? All that sort of thing. And
they used to have some.
We'd all be weirdos. We'd all be weirdos there.
They used to have MoMI on the South Bank, which was Museum of Image. Oh, yeah.
I remember me and my mate used to live near there, and we used to get like roaring drunk and sit next to the Dalek on the South Bank and just drink more lager.
That's one way of doing it. Yeah, you can.
That's what I did. That was a fun night out.
Everything gets a little bit clearer every time I speak.
I was a big hit with the ladies because of that.
What, because of the Daleks?
Sitting there on the South Bank drinking.
I love you talking about Daleks to ladies on a night out. Sorry.
But you've started, since sort of starting making comics, you're like, you've jumped in the deep end. So, like, you've obviously made this comic, you've been influenced by all of this stuff. You're still reading comics, you're still finding the joy in comics, even though you're making them. that's a win. But no, in all seriousness, of course, you've done a Kickstarter and you've tabled. So, you've been checking off the list of things that like creators have got to do. How has it been though? I mean, you still want to make comics, so that's a good thing.
This sounds all like, you know, everyone's been really lovely. I had a really lovely time, but if I could just be locked in a room and be allowed to create, that's what I'd want to do. And the rest of it is it's like, it's lovely noise, and it's like exciting the first time you do it. And I think when I was, so certainly the Kickstarter I found quite stressful, just because I was like, well, I had to make a video, I had to kind of try and, like, the whole sales thing just upsets me.
No, and it doesn't translate, the skill of being an artist or a writer or, you know, that sort of creating something does not translate over into being a used car salesman and trying to sell your comic.
It's so another dynamic. So I found the Kickstarter stressful. I mean, there was a part of me, like, it did better than I was expecting. I mean, I started very small. I got, like, I'm the kind of person where I probably do too much research and then kind of overwhelm myself, and then I get to a point where I'm just like, oh, just get on with it, whatever. Mm. Even if nobody backs it, it's something that I've then tried and I'll learn something from it. And, you know, it met its funding goal, which allowed me to print enough copies to take along for my first table and print some, like, I've got a couple of, like, postcardy type things, bookmarks, a couple of mugs, of which I sold one. but I kind of went in with very low everything I've done, I'm like, look, this is just to have a go. I think the people that I've seen that get the most upset are where they're like, this is going to like mean I can quit my day job and like I'm going to make it big and it's go big or go home. And I'm very much like, I just want to have a stab at it. And even if I royally screw it up, the stakes are low. I'm doing this for fun. Like, I'm lucky I've got a day job, so I can afford to just do this for fun. So just have fun with it and relax and stop freaking out. And I think after I had that kind of word with myself, I found everything a lot less stressful. But I still, like, the thought of having to kind of do it all again for issue two, I do find quite daunting, because really when I finished issue two, because mine's like a three issue, my first sort of story arc is three issues, I just want to start making issue three. I don't really want to have to think about printing issue two and doing another, like, I've put in a, what do you call it, the thought bubble, and I'm like, if I get that, great, if I don't, I'm giving myself a, like, I've done it once, I can do it again once issue two is ready, because I don't want to go back to nice again and just have the same stuff. So I'm kind of
That's
giving
good.
myself permission to not like be constantly trying to ramp up interest. Interest will come if what I do isn't shit, is what I've decided. So if I focus on not make on making something that I like love and that I think I've done a good job on, even if everybody else tells me that like, you know, this is garbage, at least, you know, there's something
That's
out
quite
there
healthy,
that's
don't you
out
think?
out that's gonna outlive me. If nothing else, even if I'm on like the, you know, I get the, was it the Razzler Award or for like worst comic, whatever.
I got a Razzle Award once. The thing is, it's
Yeah.
I think that's massively helpful to you as a, you know, for your state of mind, as your mental health as well, going through it all. I mean, me and Falpy do it. We just do it because we want to make each other laugh. You know, if we went along and we just had a scream and nobody bought a comic, we would still have had a successful day. And I think you're right. The quality of your comic does not depend on the public's reaction to it or even their purchasing power. It means absolutely nothing to the
Oh, there's been
quality
some
of your
absolutely
product.
fucking amazing comics, and I've seen creators like sat there and people are just going past them. And I'm like, can people not see that this
Mate,
is the best thing that here?
the general public love The Masked Singer. They're mental. They have no taste. Genuinely.
I have found with the big cons as well, it doesn't feel like it's really about comics, which I was really sad when I, because I think obviously pre-COVID, I had a small child, full-time job. I didn't tend to go to cons anyway, also because I don't like large groups, crowds of people. I tend to get overwhelmed with the noise. I can't hear, like my hearing's not very good when there's a lot of background noise. So people have to like scream at me to kind of make themselves understood. And so, but I thought, okay, before I start tabling, I'm going to go to a couple of cons just to see. And like Artist Alley was like every, like I felt intimidated going up to people. Just,
Which
and
one
this
did
is
you go
just,
to?
So I went to the London Film and Comic Con, I think was one. I went to the big one in London, just,
MCM?
MCM.
yeah, I went to MCM.
Yeah, that's a freak fest though, mate. Do you know what I
And
mean?
it was
That's
just like,
nuts.
whoa, this is not what I expected. And I think the only convention I've been to before that was the Bristol Comic Con, and this was back in 2007, maybe
That'd be way more
2006.
low-key.
And it was like it was like, this is not how I remember it. This feels very like there's a tiny corner for comics, which is how they've managed to kind of cram the word comic on the title. But this isn't a comic convention. This is just a big market for
It's a
nerdy
it's like a
bits.
yeah multimedia event, isn't it?
It's a pop culture and multimedia event sort of thing.
Yeah, which I was like, oh, that's and I think there will be a resurgence of like more comic focus. Well, I've seen it on the Slack channel. There's like loads of these little things starting to pop up, which I think is really exciting.
Episode
I
500
think,
coming next year. Sorry, continue.
But also like these little events that like Coco Comic Con and things like that, that like, you know, these small sort of grassroots, you know, let's just find a shop, they're going to give us their floor for the day and we're going to put up a little, you know, whether it be a free comic book day. They're some of the nicest days because you're there with just two or three creators,
Oh, three creators,
and it's just
And the people that come in are genuinely interested in what you're doing. Like they're there for the comics. They're not there just because they want to buy a Star Wars print or something, which I'd like, not that there's anything wrong with that. I think it's great that the nerdy market is like flourishing.
It's a
It's
totem pole for
just
me of things that people should buy, and I think Star Wars prints are okay. It's when they start buying tales. That's when I
Yeah,
worry.
oh, don't let my daughter hear you say that,
No,
because
I don't think the
I've got a
sort of
12 year
tales.
old. Oh, she wants the animatronic one that can kind of like move and that has ears that rotate and stuff. So she's, and you know what? There's a place for that. And I think different strokes for different folks. I just think they've tried to kind of
That's quite a wording you're using because
smash
I know what Tony was
everything
talking about.
together.
I'm talking about different kinds of tales, Sarah,
Are you
but
talking
yeah,
about
that's fine.
fairies?
Well, no, something similar, but I don't. It depends where you want to put the end of the
I'm not
tale, I
sure I want
suppose.
this education.
No. And
Can we head
neither
back
do
to
I.
comics?
Neither do I.
Yeah, to be fair, some cons when you see like they're doing like the drinking horns and stuff, it's like, okay, if he got, I'm not really fucking mad on that stuff. I think last
Oh,
time we
so
did Thought Bubble and that guy had the signs behind us, I was like, what's this got to do with comics? So
yeah,
it's
again, I
literally
think there's a
nothing to do with
place for it.
comics.
Like we go to Fantasy Forest every year, which is like
Ooh, what's
you go on
that?
a, so it's a festival that is just, it's just, but it markets itself as every nerd franchise is welcome, and you basically go and you pit, well, you can camp on ground, but it's like a well, 2.5 day festival, and it is just every kind of nerd. There's Star Troopers walking beside fairies, walking beside like, you know, DC and Marvel people dress, everyone's dressed up, and it's like every stall has got
Why have we not done this?
LARPing gear is so much fun. I think it started out quite grassroots, but it's every year it gets a little bit bigger. And actually, this year it's gotten so big, the whole castle grounds now belong to the festival.
Oh, I like camping. Let's do that.
That sounds like to be carnage.
They have the women's full suits of armor, knight ladies kind of do their championship there whilst you watch. And it is it's just magic. And it's just bananas because there's no rules. It's like if it's slightly nerdy, it is.
I've got a two-man tent. I reckon the three of us could fit in it.
No,
I don't think
in a two-man tent.
Oh. Yeah, but it's not going. It's going to be cold at night.
I'm not topping and tailing with.
No, okay. We're not talking about topping and tailing. Spooning.
Yeah, no more tails. We were told.
Yeah,
told
no more tails. That way, we'll be spooning. I'll be in the middle. You two be the big. You
be
the bits of bread.
Who'd be little spoon?
I'd be middle spoon.
Middle spoon.
Yeah.
Well, he looks like marmalade
sandwich.
I'm like the jam in this sandwich, Sarah.
Christ.
I feel sick.
Do you camp? I'm intrigued by this.
Camp. And we camp in, me and hubby, we're going to try camping in Viking gear this year. So.
Wow, okay.
That must be uncomfortable to sleep in.
Well, I tend to get back into my Minecraft
pajamas.
At night time. Yeah. But we eventually we want to get like a bell tent and get like a proper
Do they have toilets and showers and stuff?
They have toilets, they have showers. Yeah, there's not like
you might
a bucket.
Go in the woods.
No. So they've got proper toilets and showers and it's all very like
a bit like a festival ground.
It's like a teeny but it's much obviously it's not the size of Glastonbury, I think it's much smaller, but that's nice. It's kind of the right size that and they have campfires, like set campfires around the campsite, so you can toast your marshmallows and drink a lot of mead because we homebrew mead, so we do.
Oh wow,
I would love to see someone just following
me and Falby doing a tribute table of that, just swearing. And
well, you could go as Atomic Hercules.
No,
that'd be amazing.
No.
Well, there is talk of me going as Fat Russell Crowe again. So
you can slip into that skin quite easy, AT.
Yeah.
Do you just walk up to people and punch them?
Yeah, throw a phone at them.
While singing sea shanties.
His band.
Give out poems when you have to get your acceptance speech or whatever it was. Didn't he do that at the Oscars?
Did he?
And then stand in the middle of the festival grounds. Are you not entertained?
Yeah. haven't you read our new comic?
What's happening?
I want to go camping is what's happening, and you two are coming with me.
You want to go camping?
I got all the camping gear, but it's a two-man tent, so we'll have to share it.
I did ask you two about that, about camping the other week, didn't
I? Did you? Oh no, where's this going?
I did. You remember this one? Like if you woke up after camping. I can't go into it.
We can't do this on the show. I suddenly remember what the joke was.
Yeah. Sorry, Sarah, we'll tell you after. We'll probably.
Okay, fill me in after.
Oh, God.
So let's talk about your convention experience.
Yeah.
Sarah. Yes. So you did NICE, which is home territory to you, I'm sure. And it's also run by the guys who run your LCS,
Accountant,
your local comic shop.
Jeff. Lovely.
Yeah, nice bloke. Yeah, he does that little. Me and Eamon went to that exhibition. He put that Steve Dillon exhibition on as well. So he did a bit of that. I tend to, if I can, I think I've been on holiday. I was on holiday for the last one, but I tend to try and go to it. It's good. And you have some good names at it. But what was your experience of doing that? Was it easy for you, or was there any little learning things you had?
I mean, as I said, I think the nice thing about being a newbie is and by being upfront about, like, I don't know what I'm doing. what do I need to bring? All that kind of stuff is that everyone's very keen or very like will want to give you advice, which was really helpful. So
there was a bit of that on the Slack, I think, wasn't there? There was a few bits.
There were some bits on the Slack. So all the Slackies were very helpful. my editor from my first issue, he had some pointers as well, although it was all very Americanized. And just kind of a dollop of common sense of kind of like, well, I've only got like a little table, so I can't like buy reams and reams of stuff to take with me because I'm going to lose track of it. It's going to be a mess. And I had this because in my second issue, one of the characters has a shop, and I was like, I want to kind of lay the framework to have hints of this character shop, so like, which is all kind of slightly steampunky, kind of knickknacky. So I kind of like the idea of kind of dressing the table, kind of maybe like happy. So it was kind of like, right, I'm gonna have fun with this. It doesn't matter if I don't make any money. I will, taking my some of my original traditional art was a good call, because originally I was just going to take copies of my comic and like the not the tat, I mean the lovely paraphernalia that's got imagery on, but the tat, and just kind of put that out. But somebody, and I can't remember who, said take your original artwork with you, because then particularly at NICE, that's what people are looking for. They're looking for
So was it Pete Dory said that? I seem to remember somebody on the Slack saying
yeah,
that.
It might have been. Pete, yeah. I think a couple of people said it to me, and I was like, okay. And actually, I'm so glad they did, because I made my table back within an hour of day one, because somebody bought one of my A3 pieces, which was like, oh, I can just coast for that. And that took a lot of the pressure. I mean, I think I was quite lucky, because I made that sale early on.
Yeah.
I was like, I've made my table back, so my family are out of Great. Pocket, because I've decided to like take my vanity project on the road. because most of my Kickstarter went on printing stuff. That's what I don't think I appreciated when I started making the comic, was how much it cost to bloody print it. And I like the tactile, like I prefer physical copies to digital.
Yeah.
Like I like,
yeah.
I like a real book. So everyone was really lovely, and I was really lucky. I was sat by Paul Fry and his Mrs. Claire. I don't know if you guys have ever
met
him.
No.
I think he's done a lot of stuff for Marvel, I think, and DC and Image. And him and his missus, I think, were old hat at these conventions, and they kind of took me under their wing, and that made a big difference. I guess the good, the bad, and the ugly. The good was like how welcoming everyone was. Everyone was really helpful, and I felt like I'd been sort of adopted into the kind of the creator gang, which felt really nice, because it's one thing, like obviously online, you guys, all the Slackies have made me feel very welcome, but it's different when it's seeing people face to face.
Yeah, of course.
And it's
did you go on your own, did you go with someone else?
My hubby and daughter were there as my support act, so they kind of helped me set up, but and Holly, bless her, she was only 11 at the time, sort of stuck it out for a couple of hours and was like, I'm really bored now. So I had sort of help setting up, and then I actually found it easier after they'd gone, because I felt like I was making less of a prat out of myself without an audience of people that live with me. He won't let me live it down. I did find it quite hard to sort of, as you said, the sort of like people come, they pick it through your stuff, and then they drift away. I kind of knew what to expect. Again, the Slackies were very helpful. Sorry, I'm calling you all the Slackies.
That's right.
But the Slackies were very helpful, because I knew to expect that, and that it wasn't necessarily like a slap in the face to me. And it's kind of, I knew from helping my dad. So my dad makes like wooden sheep that's to sell at craft fairs. And I knew just from that you can't sit there and read a book or look at your phone or look disinterested, because then people really won't come and talk to you. You have to look like you're ready to talk, but not like you're about to sort of pounce on them. So it's kind of trying to find that balance. Yeah. Like,
nothing's worse than desperation.
Exactly. Yeah. And I was like, I'm not desperate. Like, I'm just excited, like an overexcited puppy. So I knew what to expect, which made a big difference. I think if I'd gone in properly cold, I probably would have walked away thinking, was that good? Was that not good? But no, it was nice. Was a really nice comic, con to sort of
okay come on
into.
Then
so that,
any
that was good
any annoying any, or bad incidents?
Yeah,
you don't have to don't name anyone, but anything.
I don't know this chap's name, and it wasn't someone that was at the con, but there was, and I don't know whether none of you guys were there, were you, but there was one chap that walked in a Union Jack onesie, and I kind of just tell that this chap was maybe not all there. And he kind of made a beeline for all the female creators. I'd kind of thought, he won't be like, he's obviously only interested in the big names and stuff. He's not going to come near. But eventually he did come round to me, and it was just really unnerving, especially when he was like, I want to show you something. And I was like, oh, God.
Oh, no.
And he whipped a gun out of his pocket.
What?
And he was like, it's a replica. It's not, it's like, you know, but, and he just kind of handed it to me. And I was like, I don't know what to do. So I kind of took it, looked, and went, that's nice. And luckily, Claire, Paul Fry's missus, who was next to me, like stayed with me throughout that interaction. And I'm like, oh God, my fingerprints are on this. I really hope it is fake. Handed it back to him and then like tried to kind of talk him into leaving, like in a nice way, kind of. I was like, I don't want to get like, because people like this, I have encountered them before in my life and you don't want to wind them up. And that was the only time where I was like, I'm a bit unnerved. And then Claire said, yeah, you shouldn't be going to the loo on your own whilst he's in here. None of the women should be going to the loo on their own. Yeah. I was like, oh Christ, I didn't think that was like a thing. Like, oh no. So that was I found that a little bit unnerving.
I mean, we've experienced it. There are a few odd bods, particularly around women at tables.
And I always seem to know how to, probably because, like, again, I'm an overexcited puppy. So if someone wants to talk comic books at me, I'm like, bring it on. I don't care how weird you are. Come and talk to me. And then they start talking. I'm like, oh, no.
People confuse friendliness sometimes, don't they? And there's a lot of very awkward people at comic conventions. Yeah. Some of them don't, sadly.
I thought I was kind of this.
Do you like, describe yourself a middle-aged woman?
Well, yeah, like nearly get 40. But like, you know, I kind of just assumed I'd be immune to that, and it was like, oh no, apparently no one's immune. Never mind. But I'm sure I'm sure there are blokes out there that get similar. Like,
I get it a lot.
Man, we've had loads of strange encounters with people coming out to our tables, haven't we?
Yeah, like, I mean, years ago we had to tell someone off, didn't we? We almost had to. We were looking to throw someone out at one convention because he was being awful to women at it. You know, fortunately, he'd left already, so nothing happened. But yeah, there's a few odd bods, mate. Yeah, no, I think it kind of
made me say, "Well, you know what? I worked in video games for 3 years, so I've had a similar experience before." But I was just like, "It's really sad that that's still like a thing." Yeah. So I don't know. It didn't kind of dent my weekend and stuff. Like, you know, again, the general public. Yeah.
That's pretty extreme being handed a gun.
A magical hodgepodge of personalities. But I'd say that was the only time where I was like, oh, bloody I'm hell. Too old to deal with this crap.
I've got a brilliant... It's great when you're tabling with two others because somebody who looks particularly, let's say, difficult to discuss things with, I literally have a way of just looking at my phone or walking off. And do you know who gets it? Vince gets it a lot, where I leave him with people who are very annoying. for years, I did that to you, didn't I? Who was that bloke who talked to you about Punisher for 2 hours?
Oh, fuck off.
That's a long old time. I've got that video. Was it the one where you did in Bristol, Vince? Like, it was at Christmas time and there's some chap talking to you for ages about something. I think the one is when someone comes up and starts telling you about the comic that they haven't done, but they got an idea for.
Oh, God.
I get a lot of, I've written a comic. Would you draw it for free? I get that quite a lot.
Do you?
I've got this idea for a comic. I'm like, that's nice.
£1 million.
Yeah.
Everyone's got
a fucking idea. You know what I mean? Like,
But I take that as well meaning though. It means that they're interested and you know, I won't draw yours, but do you want to buy mine?
I will say I've never had anyone in a Union Jack onesie hand a gun.
What I did think, I was like, this is like my first table and weird crap has happened already. But you know, I now have a great story that
I feel like that's
they're all gonna be tame least... from now on.
I've started with the weirdest and hopefully they'll
I feel like that's a comic.
Yeah.
I feel like you need to do a one pager for an anthology around that.
For an anthology around
that time I was at a convention when a man handed me a gun.
Then a couple of years ago a guy turned up at a con with like an assault rifle. It was in America. Just like brought a gun into a con, but
for me it's like at what point was it like I've got a great idea.
I think they did that thing of like they had to have orange caps over the top of the tips.
I've been to a lot of like because I'm still very into video games, so I've been to a lot of like video game things where people have got their replica weapons with the pretty little orange toppers so you know that they're not going to take you down. I don't really want to dwell on the like. I'd say that was the only bit that I wouldn't say it was. It just unnerved me because I wasn't expecting it.
That's the thing, though, isn't it? Like you hear that story, and that's because it's such a story that becomes a bigger thing. But it's it's just a tiny part of an entire wonderful day you had.
Well, 2 days, and it was like.
Mate, it's for a great story, mate, as well.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's like you know, I've I'm And I'm hoping that like, over the years I'll pick up more slightly less terrifying stories as I go. But no, and it was that I was like, oh, maybe I can do this. Like every little step like that is like, ah, I can do this. It's not like it doesn't feel big and scary anymore.
It's like the time that me and Vince had a lady porn star come and talk to us at a convention, and Vince went under the table and looked at me and goes, "I don't want to talk to her." At the time, she kept coming
We
up with
were,
this
I tell you
sticker with a
what,
QR code on
we were
things. Do you
genuinely,
remember?
we were genuinely like,
terrified.
that was a moment where,
We didn't know what to
like,
say, did
we
we?
talk a good game, but when we're face, we were like, oh, and
But
that was
she
it.
gave us this sticker and she said, "I'll click
She
on
was
the
very nice.
QR
She was
code."
lovely.
Yeah. So I clicked on the QR code and it took you to a
What?
video of her having sex in the
What
back of a
the?
three-wheeler van in an Only Fools and Horses porn parody
Oh,
movie.
yeah, wasn't it? Yeah.
Only. Wait.
That's a niche market,
What,
that.
I was gonna
Del?
say, like,
Yeah.
Del
Nobody
boy.
fell over either.
You've been in the wrong hole, you plonker.
Play it cool, Trig. Play it cool. Anyway,
She gave us a sticker, and you're going, "I'll put it on this," and you put it on the box underneath the table.
Where are you supposed to put it on the back of your phone?
I put it on
On
my
your.
folder. I
Yeah,
didn't know what to
God.
do. I got
Just put
confused.
it in the back of
Scan
his
that,
car.
mate. Yeah.
But to round this off, though, like, as you're sort of, you were a newbie, but you're not anymore.
Yeah.
I regret to inform you, you're now an official comics creator.
Yeah. You
So
get a
no,
badge. Do I get a
so,
sticker?
yeah.
I'll do your QR code.
What sort of advice would you have to someone out there who's listening to this? And if they've gotten this far, thank you very much for listening. Now, who's about to start their first comic? What sort of tips and advice would you have for them?
Well, I guess it's kind of. That's a good question. Now I've got to use my brain, and I've had a gin now. I would say, do it to have fun. Don't do it because you want to sell it to Netflix at some point, and like be in it for the right reasons, I think, because it is a labor of love. Like it's a lot of time. If you, like, I'm a lone creator, so I've written it, draw it, letter it, color it, fight with Kindle Direct Publishing to print it, towards the pits of issue one. And you know, if you're not doing it because you know you want to hold your book in your hand and be like, I made this, it's gonna outlive me, you're gonna get stuck, you're gonna fall into some sort of rut. You can make a, like, you don't need to invest loads of money, because I've heard horror stories of people spending thousands of pounds on like printing 500 copies of their first issue, or like getting a whole table at one of the big events and selling like three books. It's like, I'd say start small and build. Don't assume that you need to jump in the big end, because actually, I think it's been a lot more fun just doing it nibble by nibble and having a go. And I'd say it's the same with drawing a comic. Start small, start with like a page or a panel, because that's how I started, was just a panel. Stuck it on Instagram, and some people who I thought were cool liked it, and that was like, oh, and I quite like the feeling of these people liking it. Maybe I can do a little bit more. And then, you know, here I am 2 years down the line, and it's out there in the world. And you know, every now and then, like, I get a surprising sort of, oh yeah, I've heard of your comic. I'm like, you've heard of my comic? And that's such a nice feeling. It's like it's kind of organically sort of someone stumbled across it and enjoyed it, and enjoyed it enough to reach out to me and go, yeah, this is cool. And I'm like, yeah,
Oh,
that's
nice.
nice. And
Do you
just
speak to people in the video game industry? Is it, have you are your two worlds joined, or have you kept them sort of separate?
no, well, because I worked for 3 years in a little indie video game studio, and the game that I spent 3 years making never got released. So it's kind of, I felt like I never really fully jumped into that industry. I never really had the chance. I was button art grunt, really, making plasticine models. So it was all very niche. I mean, I got to meet like some of the animators at Aardman Animations out of it. So like, I regret nothing. It was an amazing 3 years of my life, and I got to go to the GDC in America in 2009, which was very cool. And I met the then creator of Minecraft before he released Minecraft, so he wasn't the biggie wiggy that he is now. And he kept showing me what I thought was a shit little game on his phone that then turned out to be Minecraft. And I was so uninterested.
I could have married him.
And I feel really bad now because, you know, yeah, I was like, obviously, what do I know? But again, the art wasn't really, it didn't tickle the pickle. So it was like, yeah, whatever, dude. So it was kind of, yeah, it was like a flash in the pan. And then, like, you know, 2008 financial crisis hit. And then I found out I was being made redundant. And then I found out I was pregnant. So I've had to get like a HR job to kind of keep the motors running at home. So I'm still friendly with the people I used to work with, but actually what I did find with video games when I was making them, I had to stop playing them. I couldn't play them anymore. They made me really angry or miserable, and I've not had that with comics, which is why I think comics is actually my true passion. Because it used to be I'd come home from doing video game art all day and the last thing I wanted to do was boot up my PlayStation. And now actually I love reading comics and making comics, and that's why it's like this is home. This is kind of, it's how I knew that it was what I wanted to do, was I can do both. I can enjoy both, and I can appreciate the craft that's gone into the comics that I read. Even the, and I have to say, with some of the indie comics I've been sent, some of them have been either a bit weird or
we don't know what you're talking about.
It's been I've read some really good ones or seen some beautiful artwork, and I've seen a lot where it's beautiful artwork and the story is like, I have no idea what's, like, read the whole thing, like, I've no idea what happened. If you ask me about, I could probably tell you the title, but the writing just is such, or the speech bubbles, or I don't know, the magic wasn't there, but it's still like, you can kind of still appreciate it. And I've seen some amazing comics that basically just stick people. And whenever anyone says, oh, I'm a writer, I can't afford an artist, if your story is good enough, you can do it with stick figures and it will be enjoyable. And the more stick figures you draw, the better your stick figures are going to get. So it's like, if someone's out there and it's like, I've only got part skill, have a bash at the bit you don't think you're very good at, because you might find, like, I quite like the whole, if I'm not in the mood for drawing, I can do a bit of writing. If I'm not in the mood for inking, I can colour that page that I didn't want to colour before. Or, you know, sometimes I want to draw like big, beautiful pieces, and other times I want to sit there and draw lots of little circles so that my brain can just switch off. And the beauty of comics is that you can bring all of that together in this kind of alchemy that then spits out this beautiful book, or what you hope is a beautiful book. So I think it's, don't be afraid to don't label yourself as, oh, I'm a writer, I could never be an artist, or I'm an artist, I could never be a writer. Like, even if initially, and when you start, you will be a bit shit. Like, that's how you learn. You start, you're a bit shit, and then you get less shit the more you do it.
if you start out amazing, the only way you can go is down. And you've done that.
Or you need to attend a psychiatrist.
And if you kind of, like, you know, if you're bored of doing it, well, might try another way. Like, there's there are kind of, like, you know, readability things that you should pay attention to just so someone can decipher what it is you're creating. But, and there's loads of, like, Scott McCloud, you've got How to Draw Comics the Marvel Way, you've got all of these books, but use them as a guide, not as your law book of rules that you have to follow. Because, you know, maybe there are only two or three people that are going to enjoy what you're doing, but make something for those two or three people, because you never know, make their day. Like, even if it's just like for 10 minutes, someone's escaped into your world of crazy stick figures that are, I don't know.
Don't get Tony to do stick figures. That's
bananas.
That's a dangerous thing.
I'll do bananas.
Something to do with tails. But
I think the thing is, make it, you use your heart and use your soul and use your intelligence. Yeah. And I think that's a good way to start, you know.
Yeah, and just start small and build from there. And then it doesn't, like, you know, and if at any point it's not fun anymore, don't.
You don't have to do it.
Flog a dead horse. Like a
marriage.
Yeah. Well,
but
yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was about to say, we were really heading towards a nice poetic end to this topic of conversation.
What's wrong with marriage? It's marvellous.
And then Tony dropped...
Don't shit on my marriage. It's marvellous.
I'm not shitting on your marriage. I love your wife.
she likes you.
Yeah. She made me sandwiches.
She did.
That's great, man.
That's the best thing he ever said about my wife.
That's a good love language.
She made him a packed lunch.
Make a sandwich for someone, man. You're doing all right.
Oh dear. And yeah, and yeah. That, I mean, you're off to the races now.
Yeah, so, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And you really made it now, Sarah.
What? Why? Because
is that because I'm going to get the badge?
Yeah.
Well, you're on this podcast.
I really want a special hat, like a party hat, and a.
Oh, we might have some of those coming.
Hang on, yeah. hang on. What's with all these requests now?
Yeah. All right, calm down,
well,
Sarah.
Well, apparently I've made it. Yeah, you made it.
Oh my god. Unbelievable.
So brown in the show.
Yeah. Look, well, Sarah's here for the rest of the show, so let's see if she regrets that decision shortly. But before the end of the show, do we have any shout-outs?
Yes, I have a number.
You, aren't we?
Yes. Yeah.
Pet Shop from Falpy, the newest comic in our Graphic Gospel series over at Tribute Press, is out now. I didn't do this one. He just did this one his own. Some may view it as future Falpy goes to quite an outrageous orgy. That's the summary of it. Worth getting. Yeah. Friday the 22nd of March is the next drink and draw. Details, by the time you listen to this, is live, should be up on the Slack. If you're not on the Slack, firstly, what's wrong with you? But you can try and find us and we will send you the link. Everyone is welcome to drink and draw. Don't think because you don't know anyone. You can come along and not even talk to anyone. Not even have your camera on. But
and draw stick figures. Look.
And draw stick figures, yeah. And I'll probably tell some bad and rather rude stories. Infinite Wheat Paste Volume 1, Catalytic Conversions. That's right, isn't it? Catalytic Conversions. That's a hell of a title, isn't it? L. Pidge is currently funding through Everhill on Kickstarter. Relationships, androids, car repair, time travel, gods. These interconnected stories set on the edges of human experience share the moments of the little bits of life that feel less than real. So it's Everhill of the Hotness at the moment. It's their new book out. Kat very kindly sent it through to us. We've shared it. Yeah, and we've all had a little look at it. You had a little look at it as well, Sarah. We sent it through to you as well.
I did.
Good. So going back that, it could do a bit of help, actually. It's not quite broken it yet, so go and have a look at that. So Infinite Wheat Paste Volume 1. There you go. They're my ones.
Dan.
Oh, okay. We've got John Sterling, Super Spy, Windbreaker by our friend Dave Hingley. That could do with a little bit of love. An A4 size, 32-page, full-colour, all-ages comic featuring John Sterling, special agent of Snoop. Not Snoop Dogg. We've got... this comic was an issue on... Global Comics, Steamroller Man, and their Kickstarter issue 1. Steamroller Man 1, an absurdly funny superhero adventure. Being a Hero has really gone to his head, a retro-flavoured superhero comedy written and drawn by Simpsons director Matthew Schofield. I really enjoyed this, and I think that... I'm not sure what the Kickstarters are entail, but it's in that bit. It's an upcoming project, and you can save it for give a notification when it launches, so go check that out.
That's been mentioned a few times on this show, Steamroller Man. I need to read this.
And Cliff mentioned this in the Slack, and I thought I would mention it here because it's great. On the Internet Archive, there's the entirety of Starblazer has been uploaded there.
Okay.
And you can go and look at all the 200-plus comics.
They've been released. I think they're releasing some of the Grant Morrison ones soon, aren't they?
Yeah, there's they brought out one book with two in it, and there's another one coming out in the next couple of months. But
that seems really slow. That's a couple of years ago.
There's so much material. I don't know why they're dragging the heels, but literally you can read every comic that they put out under Starblazer, and some of them are real gems. So go check that. There's a link to it, but if you just look Google archive.org and Starblazer magazine, you'll find the link.
Oh.
And go check that out.
That's awesome. Nice. I just got a shout out. A quick congrats to our fellow podcasters in Geek Syndicate, friend of the show.
Oh, yeah. I said hey. Congrats today.
Barry and Dave, they've put out recently their 1300th podcast since they started doing it back in the show. So if you love a bit of pop culture, comics, movies, all kinds on there, Geek Syndicate's really great. And Barry Nugent's a great writer as well. So, be sure to check out all that.
He does
stuff,
a great impression of me. Last time I saw him at Thought Bubble, he did an impression of me on the convention, so on the podcast, made me laugh. Yeah.
He was one of the ones of getting you into podcasting, Vince.
Yeah. Before the show happened, he was very, very helpful. So, and we're catching up. God, we're nowhere near.
Can I ask a podcast question?
Sure. Maybe.
Oh, go on.
Yeah. Like, is creating a podcast a bit like creating a comic? Like you start small and build up, or did you just jump in like to the big boy pond or what?
The big boy pond.
When we started, there weren't that many. And now, and then there was loads. And then it seemingly there's not that many again. So I think no more with the podcast. We just basically do what makes us laugh and just track along.
There was
never changing.
Yeah, when we started, I mean, we've told this story many times, but this show was very much, I want to make comics. What a better podcast that talks about indie comic, you know, because there's so many Marvel DC sort of, you know, all these podcasts and ones that I loved and like listening to and stuff. But I was like, oh, what about the indie comics and find out how to make comics. So it was really a case of put out the thing you want to hear in the world, that kind of stuff. I didn't expect it to be so degenerate.
I hate that part of it. That's the part that really darkens my soul.
What?
It's the dirty language.
I know, it's disgraceful. It's disgraceful. I can only apologise to you gents. I'm so
fucking sorry, Tony.
thanks, Sarah.
It was handy that it was out at a time where social media actually worked and you could get to people who wanted to.
Yeah, with social media being a splintered thing now, it's more difficult.
Oh, I don't want to talk about social media. Yeah, it's the thing that makes me the most sad.
Yeah. Well, we'll ask for your social media links at the end of the show.
Anti-social
media. Okay, yeah.
But certainly, you know, Geek Syndicate were doing it long before us, and they're going to be doing it just the same as us because we're not going anywhere. So we're going to
episode 500. Look out for.
Let's not talk too much about 500 right now.
500.
We need to have the brainstorming session, and there may be even more. As I mean, there's the 500th episode, but there may be merch. But that's all I'm going to say.
So we are going to get fancy hats
and a Rolls Royce.
Yeah. Mouse pads for everyone.
I'm going into space.
But speaking,
and suspicious-looking stickers.
Yeah,
but no strippers.
QR codes on them.
Yeah.
Vince, you hear that? No, I know you talked about it earlier. We're not having strippers. I'll tell you now. I'm going to have to put my foot down there, my friend.
Not again.
And anyway, it's a podcast. Like, how would that work?
Yeah, it worked for me, Sarah.
Oh, yeah. She's slowly taking off her shoes.
I think it'd be my Tony Wiley.
Like, you know, hang on, what is it? My word, gents. Look at that brassiere. Isn't that marvellous?
Marvellous.
I love
you know
Sarah's
what?
I've
actually listened to that.
She dances well. She's also a mother of two.
I love about this. Sarah's clearly never gone to see a stripper because the first thing she goes to, she's taking her shoes off. Like she's had a hard day at work.
Well, left shoe's a bit stuck.
Am I right? I think they usually walk around barefoot. All the ones I've played.
I don't like it, so I don't know. I've never seen one.
Yeah.
Dan, what are you?
Beard. Oh, the old school classic stroke.
Anyway, that was the shout outs.
Chinny chin chin.
Chinny chin.
Why is it going so wrong?
Yeah.
Let's get back on track.
We're doing recommends now, aren't we?
We are. We're going to recommend some comics to you lovely listeners. And as
do
always,
a recommend.
The guest goes first. Sarah, what would you like to recommend to our lovely listeners?
I would like to recommend Lenore by Roman Dirge. And this is one of the first comics I bought with my own money when I was 15 and went to my very first actual comic book shop in Bath. Don't think it exists anymore. And it's dark. I mean, it's all set. Lenore is a little dead girl that kind of gets into all sorts of mischief. And it's very dark humour. And the art style, I don't know how to describe the art style. It's kind of like cute, but like grotesque at the same time. And it's I call it like my palette cleanser. It's funny. It's sort of a bit weird. And it just, like, you know, if you need a bit of a palette cleanser between like things like Saga, Monstrous, or like whatever you're reading, it's just, you can kind of pick it up. There are lots of little short stories. And it just perks me right up when I read it.
Roman
so,
Dirge is a creator that knows his style as well. He completely.
Yeah. And it's very recognisable, which I love. And like every now and then he puts on his Instagram that he's got an original for sale. And I'm always too late because it's all American time and I'm asleep. But yeah, it just it was the comic that made me realise it doesn't have to be Marvel and DC to be a comic you can enjoy. So. That would be my, particularly if you're someone that's new into comics, it's certainly the comic that kind of made me realize, oh, I could do this because it doesn't have to be this pristine beefcakey.
I always think it's a good you know, the shorthands that we give people in terms of recommendations and stuff. I think, like, I always think that Roman Dirge and Lenore and stuff is like, if people are Tim Burton fans, that kind of aesthetic.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking with it.
Yeah.
I use it daily.
Oh, what, for your clothes, Lenore? Yeah, right, okay.
Is that a joke again? Third time today. Third time.
First time on the show, though.
Isn't live. It? Yeah, live. First time live. Yeah.
Well done. So, Tony, what would you like to recommend?
I'd like to recommend... Right, you ready? You're a French speaker, Sarah. You're much cleverer than me. Outrage aux bonnes mœurs par la voix du livre. This is an anthology from the New Tribute Press signing Paul Sausage. It translates to Outrage to Good Morals Through Books. That's cool, isn't it? So this is a translation of a collection of stories from our New Tribute signing Paul Sausage. He is, like Sarah, one of those clever bastards who speaks more than one language. And we've translated this sort of thing. It's hysterical with hysteria, I'm going to describe it as. It opens on Showdown, which is a story of a naked woman plagued by dreams, and you begin to wonder whether they're real or not. Other stories can be, there's a lot of one pages, a lot of four pages. It's only an A. It's A5, black and white, printed comic. Heavily on the inks, which I really like. Promotion is, imagine, we're all familiar with the movie I Spit on Your Grave. Everyone familiar with that movie?
Yes.
I've never watched the original or remake.
Yeah. I'm doing that. Oh, no.
it's like, but imagine if it was set in an office and rather than a knife or a firearm, she has a stapler. Imagine that.
As it's a bit like Office Space.
Bit more rape.
Two very different films.
Bit more sexually explicit.
Okay. Yes.
in Showdown, there's a lot of hallucinations. And the lady in that dreams of David Hemmings in his blow-up period. Do you remember David Hemmings, the actor? He was kind of cool. Ringo's in it, in his Sergeant Pepper era. And I think I spotted Get Carter's Ian Hendry. Second week in a row, we've talked about Get Carter. That's cool, isn't
it? Yeah. Great film. Yeah.
All acting is little touchstone echoes within the narrative structure of the story. Another story dips into some classic noir. It's called Marie, ends on a cliffhanger, very much in that French Le Samurai kind of noir stuff that goes on there. It's really good. It's done in a way that most certainly complements our line of comics, which if anyone's read our style of comics, you're going to know it's like pretty mad. Great little find, even though I do need to Google and translate all of his emails. But if you go to, it's not out yet, it's coming out in a couple of weeks. If you go to tributepress.co.uk, you can find a copy of it. Very much on the outlaw underground scene. But for a change, look at us, going all French. There you go. So that's my first one. Hey, guys.
Lovely. Dan.
I saw this title while I was browsing Twitter and always looking for people flogging their comic on it. And this one came up called Tyrantful. And I got issue 1 and 2. Yes. They're both were kickstarted, and the creative team got created by C. Brendan Knight and Max Davenport, script by C. Brendan Knight, lines and inks by Max Davenport, colours by Roman Stevens, and letters by Rob Jones. I'm sure you all know
Jones.
He's been on the scene for
ever present.
Yeah. So the blurb for it goes, meet Dragon Ball Z meets Heavy Metal Magazine in this 30-page genre-bending action-packed first issue. And the action-packed goes straight out to the second issue as well. It's kind of like a fantasy kind of world where like these ancient fae creatures have left. And as they left behind these kind of like rulers who've essentially become tyrants, and they're right bastards, and they call themselves the dragons, and there's one top one that they all vie for, and they live for years and years, centuries, and they rule over the people like absolute shits, treat them like crap. And it focuses on one young girl where she has this horrific act where some of her family are wiped out, and she sort of swears that she's going to get revenge. The first issue is her and some of her mates trying enact that revenge, and it goes extremely poorly for them. And then in the second one, it kind of spins off that. If you kind of like kind of muscular, kind of action-packed fighting kind of comics with sort of
beefcake,
there's not so much beefcake in it.
The bad lady, the red dragon,
she is like a chonk. Like, she's got this kind of like weird swimsuit number with like a big metallic arm, and she's built as fuck. And She really kicks some ass. It's a really good
built as fuck.
Yeah, built as fuck. I'm trying to describe the art style to it. It's kind of, how would you describe it? It's very kind of, when there's injuries, they're very kind of well detailed and fleshed out, and I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a great comic. I can't wait to read.
I need to check this out. I like the name.
I'll have a look at this.
Yeah, 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 can't wait to see the third.
It sounds a bit Carl Starksy to me. Is that a good?
It's more straight than that.
Right. Okay. Right.
It's a bit more straight, but recommend. Big recommend. Go nice. Go check
nice.
It out.
Nice.
Be fine.
My one, which is going to be the issue one, but I did just to be clear, I went and read another couple of issues of it straight afterwards. It's a Dynamite book.
Oh, I know what this is. Your this, obsession again, isn't it? That weird obsession you've got.
This one that's very close to my heart. Madballs versus Garbage Pail Kids.
Oh, yes.
The heavyweights of gross. Now, I'm... anyone who follows me...
Fucking Madballs.
I fucking love Madballs. Right, which were an sort of an 80s sort of toy... A culture phenomenon, you know, they're a mini sort of like thing at the same time of Garbage Pail Kids, you know, that they were known for being like gross out toys, and all they were was just sort of like hard plastic sort of
remember these.
Yeah
And wasn't there one that you could pop the eyeball out of if you squeezed it? Was that right?
A lot of them had it where you like squeeze them, like the air would push the eyeball out.
Like all toys, they started off as something simple and then they kept doing different variations. As like,
you know, this is why kids are so weird.
Didn't some of them have like the little like holes at the back so you could put three fingers through and like make their little mouths?
That was, I think that was Boglins. That's completely different.
My mistake.
I had a Boglin.
I had a bog. That's another show.
Carry on, Vince.
Sex people.
But Madballs, of course, you know, they've got that sort of punk rock sort of almost an underground aesthetic. Like whenever I see artwork of them, and like whenever I hear there being comics, there were UK comics of which I picked up a couple. I think they were just reprints of American ones, actually. I picked up some from a comic mart, and they are the standard toy that's been made into a comic kind of thing. And I know a few years ago they went into print once again, and I must say, when I picked this up, I was concerned that it was going to be, oh, let's have a sort of deconstruction or like an underground adult version of this.
Let's do it as Puppet Master or something like that for me. Yeah, that's what I thought it might be.
Yeah, no, let's be gross out, but, you know, still be like, this is for mature readers. So I was thinking, oh, God, you know, what is this going to be like? And it wasn't that. This is amazing fun. This is really good fun, actually. The synopsis is, for the first time ever, the heavyweights of gross have combined forces in a massive merchandising blitz that I couldn't find anything about, that pits the Madballs against the Garbage Pail Kids. Winner takes all. As part of this blitz, Dynamite presents the comic book crossover of these iconic 1980s brands. For over three decades, Madballs and GPK, which I don't agree with shortening it because it sounds like Gourmet Burger King or something like that, have been known as the grossest of the gross, co-ruling counterculture with their pun-heavy names and subversive humour. This all-new limited series, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, right, the creators of this, I've got it here in front of me. The writer is Sholly Fish. Have you heard of that? Heard of them before?
Sholly Fish.
Yeah, Sholly, F-I-S-C-H. Artist.
I know Brian Halibut. Is that the same?
Or Leonard Haddock. artist and colorist Jason Crosby. Letterer Seda Temafonte. The covers are by Joe Simcoe. And there's a raft of other names in this. The one I was reading was the collection, but...
Can I insert a quick pop quiz on this?
Go on.
Here's a question for everyone. Who is the co-creator of the Garbage Pail Kids? You know this person.
What?
Who is the co... You know the creator for other reasons, other comics. Who is the co-creator of the Garbage Pail Kids? I think we might have said this years ago.
Yeah. I can't.
Any ideas?
No.
Sarah?
No. My new
Art Spiegelman.
Wow.
The Crater Mouse.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, Garbage Pail Kids, obviously born of the Cabbage Patch Dolls. It was that twist.
Oh, were they?
And for me, they were like a major part of like my childhood growing up when you used to get trading cards with a stick of gum.
They were stickers, weren't they?
And that was how the Garbage Pail Kids were, and they just became a phenomenon. But anyway, this was... there is a sort of... there's kind of a tale there. There's this family called the Snobs who move into this neighbourhood.
Probably from Bristol.
They're clearly... they think, oh, we've got this nice house, and there's these two terrible houses on either side that are probably going to be knocked down at some point. So, you know... It'll be wonderful. They'll turn the neighborhood into a
like. I love the fact Vince is explaining like it's the story of a complicated Oscar-winning movie.
And it's heartfelt.
12 Years a Slave.
And basically, on one side live the Garbage Pail Kids, and on the other side live the Madballs. That's all you need to know.
Why do you buy the house in the middle? What's wrong with these people?
But the thing about these gross out sort of characters, of which their names, they have the Garbage Pail Kids. You have Kim Kong, Brainy Janie, Nasty Nick, who's a vampire, Stinky Stan, whose top of his head is loads of like rubbish coming out, and there's Scary Carrie, as well as what's his name, Atomic. I've forgotten the name of it now. But there's a kid where his head sort of blows up.
Yeah, he's the famous one. He's the one I've seen, isn't he? Yeah.
Yeah. Now...
Not as popular in the UK. Massive in America, weren't they? Garbage Pail Kids.
Yeah. Which I think...
They're relatively big over here, but not like they were in the States.
No. I think both of these weren't really huge in the UK, to be fair. But I think just the aesthetic really caught me.
Hmm.
But what I liked about this, and having some small experience of writing a comic co-creating a comic with Tony for kids and stuff like that, and kids will love this. It doesn't, you know, the characters are gross out and it's funny, and there's lots of pun like dad jokes everywhere, but there's a real sense of humor and there's joy in the comic. There's no fun at people's expenses. You have like the snob parents, they're always almost the butt of the joke in some ways. But the kids of the family love the Garbage Pail Kids. You know, it's one of those things where all the kids in this book love what's going on.
Well, we talked a bit about this when we did the kids comic, didn't we? And we always ended up with something like My Bum's on Fire. Yeah. Because we know that's what a kid will find funny.
Yeah.
Did you say it's written by Solly Fish?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did Teen Titans Go comics as well, didn't he? So that's his jam. I got them for my, because my daughter loves Teen Titans Go, the like animated series.
Yeah, my boy loved that. That's a great
actually, the comics are really good fun as well.
Okay,
well, I got to say, you know, this is my first time experiencing this, right? And they get the tone absolutely right, and the art itself by Jason Crosby is beautiful. It's full color. It feels like there's sort of it's sketchy, there's black and white inks, you know, every page is sort of loaded, nothing is shorthanded on this, and every, you know, you could stand here and just look at the different pages and the way like the textures he's using, the backgrounds, even though it's just a flying eyeball floating around and a kid with a dumpster for his head. It's not like a long, these are shorter stories, and in between that, they have things like puzzles for kids, or like there's the kid in the dumpster, and there is artwork all over it, and it's a see if you can spot these things in this picture. So it's quite an active book as well. I was really, really impressed for something that I was worried was just gonna fail, you know, try to be cool and counterculture to the point of not working. This was actually a real pleasant surprise, this. So, you know, if you like the Madballs and the Garbage Pail Kids, I don't like the fact they call it the Verses, because half the time then they're never fighting each other to the point of like one of them winning. They're getting in like these funny little contests or playing a game, but the Verses is, I don't know.
But that's your nerd boy rage. How dare you?
Yeah.
Get online.
I don't want any of them to lose.
Whenever they're collaborating nowadays, it's Verses.
Yeah,
it's not kind of.
Yeah, yeah. So if, and also if you like some,
I've just written an email already about that.
This gross out comedy, Madballs versus Garbage Pail Kids, is one to check out. So it's a collection. There's four issues, 95 pages from Dynamite. It is available on Global Comics, but there's also a print version as well, which might double dip.
Oh, is it on Global Comics already?
Yeah.
Fuck.
I almost picked it up digitally, but the digital price is a little high. So I thought, I wonder if it'll be added to... Oh, it's been added. So then I read it.
Oh, that's so good. Be careful with... might be worth getting the issues if you really like it, because the trades from Dynamite can be quite pricey compared to the issues sometimes.
Okay. And looking at the art of the covers and stuff, I think it would just be nice to have in issues anyway. Four issues. So, yeah, look out for it.
People laugh at Dynamite. They put out an awful lot of good stuff. I really like this stuff.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Really impressive stuff. Okay. Tony, do you want to finish this off?
Yeah, last one is Bootleg Spider-Man, written and drawn by Mardy Khan, published by Superhero Comics with a Z. It's $10 or £10 in hard cash in GOSH. I'm going to say that's probably a little too much. It's quite a sort of... It's not a big thing.
Is that A4? Yeah. Is that slightly...
Slightly smaller than A4, I'd say. Slightly shorter. Hmm. Bootleg Spider-Man comic. Marvel has nothing to do with it, it says in the interior page. Now let's get up to speed. Aunt May is dead. The spider radiation has ravaged Peter Parker's body. Mary Jane ain't quite what she used to be, and the Green Goblin has decided to put a nail in her coffin. All right, heroes, face front, I guess. So it's a full-on parody, black and white, with an underground feel to it. There's a picture of what's happened to Mary Jane. She's got massively fat. And that's part of the story. She has to, every time he tries to kiss her, because he's been mutated into being a spider, he lifts his mask up and tries to kiss her, and she always says, "Oh no, I'm hungry, I've got to eat." So, because she doesn't want to kiss his spider face because it's turning into a spider, like Jeff Goldblum in the Fly, essentially. So.
Yeah.
It's on the way. It starts with him swinging around the town, around New York, and there's no crime happening. So he says, "Oh, I must get a Burger King on way home." So he shortchanges one of the clerks in the Burger King $4, and he takes it to Mary Jane. He seems to feed her a lot throughout it.
What is this book saying?
I don't really know what it's saying. It's saying a lot of weird stuff, which is kind of, I think if you're going to do it, but we'll talk about that in a minute. But so he heads off to investigate. Now, Spider-Man has this thing now where he just kills everyone. So he has a gun. He says, "Look, it's my web gun. It doesn't shoot webs." He says this all the time. "It doesn't shoot webs. It's just a gun covered in webs." And he kills people. He kills all the villains. And that's why crime's down.
I'll do it.
"My spider reflex trigger is throbbing." That's a phrase I used. I wrote down.
Put it in the word. What? The word "throbbing"'s used in the book.
Perverts. Oh, wow. And he goes to a strip club. And that stripper's mentioned again. Look. Yeah.
What's happened to this episode?
Yeah, what's happening to this episode? That's all Sarah's fault.
My apologies. I didn't realise it was going to turn into a how to become a feeder.
Stan's one of the customers, obviously, in the strip club. For me, it's well done. I like the way they do it. It's got a bit of a twist on the original, where there's a love for the original material, which they twist and play with. But for me, I'd like to see them go a bit further. Doesn't go far enough for me. If you're doing a bootleg Spider-Man comic,
yeah, you want to really go for it.
Yeah. What was the Batman one where he was always self-abusing himself constantly? Like I want more Prison Planet than Steve Ditko if you're doing a bootleg comic sort of thing. More Johnny Ryan. Should be a bit more Johnny Ryan for me. But it's good enough. It's pretty good. There's a backup story which is in colour. Spidey, Kraven's going around killing babies and an elephant like some kind of fucking psycho. So he tells MJ that, and MJ says, "You should go set things straight, Tiger. This is no time to be a fucking pussy."
That's certainly a play on that little marriage
thing. So I think it'd fit right in with the current storyline of gang war over at Marvel.
Yeah. Perhaps it's a deleted scene.
But it's good. It's I'm glad they did it. I enjoyed it. I think there's a second issue coming as well.
Okay.
I'll question the choice in the back. This is a weird choice. I don't know what everyone thinks about this. But in the back of it, you get the preview of the next issue's cover that's in that he turned into a Spider-Man, but then they put a page in it, right, that was never in the main story, and they say a bonus page that didn't make the cut. Well, it clearly did make the cut because you just put it in the comic.
Yeah, what?
I don't really understand that.
You can't have what?
No, I'm not
I've
sure
seen
about that.
I've seen like Laura Olympus, I know she does that shit, like these are an alternative scene, but then it's like an alternative to what's in the comic.
Right, okay.
That's normally in the big books as opposed to like
I get you.
Issue sized. So I have seen it,
Yeah, I think that having that sort of alternative thing, but I kind of get the sense that the art wasn't strong enough for this one. That's what in my maybe not, but it's a weird decision to make. But like I say, I enjoyed it. I like the fact we're getting these stupid bootleg comics. Like, I love the fact that people are out there taking the piss, and it doesn't seem like the main companies are doing anything about it. We've had the Batman one. There's a Ghost Rider one I read recently. We've got the Spider-Man one. They seems to be coming at a fast rate these days. And we need to ridicule these characters because sometimes they're a little bit po-faced, aren't they? And a little bit full of their own piss and importance. But if you go to superherocomics.com with a Z, you can get a comic. And it's nice, scratchy, undergroundy, and it's on the shelf. If you want to get it, if you go into Gosh, it's on the downstairs shelf with all the other regular comics. You can find it down there as well. So,
Okay.
my new one.
Nice.
There you go.
Nice.
Nice.
Tons and tons of comics creators and more to check out this week. You're welcome, listeners. And thank you, Sarah, again for joining us. It feels like we could talk for hours, probably
Yeah, that's
ages,
good.
but it would be just more degenerate filth, no doubt.
Excellent.
I'm so sorry, Sarah.
No, please don't. Yeah, stop apologizing. I have enjoyed every minute of it.
Oh, good, good. And we hope you lovely people at home have enjoyed this episode as well. If there's anything you want us to maybe elaborate on, or a topic you want us to talk about, or maybe some conventions that you want us to shout out, there's several different ways you can get in touch with us. You can email us awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. We're on social media, Twitter at the Awesome Pod. What are we on Instagram, Tony?
Can't remember.
At Awesome Comics Pod.
And I'm in charge of the Instagram.
Yeah.
And thank you for listening to us, whether it was on the website, awesomecomics.podbean.com. If you listen to us on Apple Podcasts, then subscribe and leave a nice review. It helps get the word out about the show. Algorithms and all that stuff. I don't understand how it all works, but we truly appreciate
Madness.
Each and every
Who
listen
mad?
That we get. Spotify as well, you can rate us on there. 5 stars, please. We're fragile.
Six.
And can you get a 6-star? If not, why not?
5-star, my favourite group.
Well,
do you remember Five Star? Have you ever seen that Swap Shop, or whether it's Saturday Superstore, where somebody said, "Oh, we've got John on the line from Swindon. You'd like to ask Five Star a question?" "Yes, I would. Thank you." "Well, go ahead then, John. Why are you so shit?"
Please don't ask us that about this show, because we just are. And if you listen to us on any other networks such as Amazon, Stitcher, Podnose, Podknife, what network are we on, Tony?
We're on the Pod Network. That is a massive admission. Yes, Mrs. Butcher, those saucy movies were in fact mine. I accidentally left them in Dan's sock drawer.
It's also all one word. Just type that into the URL and you should find the network there. That'd
be a fiver, Dan. What?
PayPal.
Sarah, thank you for putting up for this. Where can people find you, your comics, and
so my comics are on Amazon, mostly because that was just the first place I found. I was like, okay, yeah, I can figure this out. So I'm hoping that issue two I might use somebody else, but yeah, at the moment issue one is available on Amazon, and I'm on Instagram. I'm Rusted Silver Art, all one word. And I have a Patreon as well, and a big shout out to my lovely patrons who helped me, as well as my Kickstarter. My patrons were a big help with being able to print issue one, and I'm Rusted Silver on Patreon.
Amazing.
Why are you Rusted Silver?
So it's a name I came up with when I was about 15, and I liked the idea that silver is a metal that can't tarnish, but somehow I found a way.
That's interesting.
So
we've just followed you because I'm in charge of the Instagram.
What's the Instagram called, Tony? What's our Instagram?
I don't know what it is.
but where can people find you online, Tony?
NeverOnAnything.com. Best of Tops and Bottoms is coming out every Wednesday. Have a read. I've started putting out like blahs. I put out a blah about colouring this week, which
mate, I agree with you.
Thank you.
It's a blah.
It's just me talking shite, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like a brain fart.
Yeah, a little bit. Like it just occurred to me. I had a bit of a rant about the overuse of colour in some comics at the moment. Yeah, especially Batman. Off Batman. Yeah.
It's kind of over digitized, over kind of just not.
Yeah, people are just going to town and just adding stuff in that just isn't required, and it makes the visual very complicated to sort of take in, you know, which stunts the reading, and you know,
Yeah, especially sometimes. Yeah, if there's a house style to a comic book as well, it can really sort of just dull it down, can't it? You know,
yeah.
If there's no life to the art style, then the colouring will just absolutely just kill it. Good. Ooh, looking forward to reading
that's
that.
Why Rob Liefeld's colorist back.
How dare you? Don't you say anything about him.
We're getting him on the show. He's on next week.
He's my dad. Where can people find you?
Rob Liefeld is my dad.
There's a t-shirt for 500.
Right, for episode 500, that t-shirt's going up for sale.
Yeah. Dan, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Vanguard Comic, and you can read Vanguard at vanguardcomic.com. Do follow along with the old hashtag March of the Mutants. There's quite a few of us.
You guys are killing it, man. Absolutely killing it.
Fucking some of those people that post up on Slack are amazing. Yeah. Really good work.
I'm trying to repost them every morning or every time I see them on the Instagram as well. So if I'm not doing yours, just message me because I'll. Yeah. It's nice to have them all as like a big block of every day on the Instagram as well.
I'm regularly going through with a hashtag and then making sure I retweet all the ones that come across.
What are you going to do next month? Have you decided yet?
No, we're still kind of bashing it out. Someone suggested about doing like Aunt May for the entirety of May, which...
Or April O'Neil. Oh, no, you've already done Tales.
Yeah, maybe pushing the concept. Yeah. I did say Autobot April because we did the September, but we'll see how it goes.
Do that picture I sent you from Savage Dragon today.
No. You can find me on social media at Jester Diablo. And if you want to join the Slack community, just get in touch with us and we'll join you to that. Because
two new members this week.
Yeah.
Wonderful group.
One of them
people.
didn't know about their comic. They put it up, looked great. I bought all issues of it immediately.
There you go.
So it's done.
Yeah. It's a wonderful community of people on there. And so join it. And join us next week for more comic book chatter. Who knows where it'll go? Who knows what we'll be talking about? Well, you have to join us next week to find out. So until then, wherever you are in the world, we hope you're happy, healthy, reading lots of comics that you like, making comics that you love and doing it because you love it, because we love you for doing it.
Mission statement from Sarah this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And
just fucking do it.
Exactly. Yeah. That's a t-shirt. I mean, right, copyright that.
Yeah.
And until next time, from Tony, Dan, Sarah and myself, have a brilliant week. Read loads of comics. Keep making those comics. And as always, what should they do, guys?
Stay awesome.
Stay awesome.
Stay awesome.
Amazing. Bye, everyone.
Bye.